here's the deal. I'm the head of the Illuminati. It's well known. So definitely we're killing the planet. Human life, it's not worth anything.
I don't know about anything.
We should get rid of the majority of people.
Die.
Let's try and die.
And that will end all war until there's peace.
He's crazy.
We gotta kill every varmint. We gotta get everything.
It'd be incredible.
Okay, Alex, I'll debate you, all right? I'm going to take the position that Israel is undue influence in U.S. electoral politics. AIPAC should register under FARA. They pressured us, forcing our hand into the Iranian war, for which it's undermined our interests, and they're currently undermining our interests in the Middle East. I'll take that position. And then I guess you'll take the pro side, like why you support Israel, I guess.
I'm criticizing you because I'm sick of people getting on bandwagons who meet secretly with the Israeli prime minister for propaganda purposes, then coming in and jumping on top of an Israeli propaganda operation against me. So whether you took money from them or not, you met with them, and you're regurgitating their crap.
But Israel is intentionally dragging us into this war, and also Israel has...
Nah, I think you got Israel derangement syndrome.
Okay, well,
I call it Israel-Palestine derangement syndrome.
Okay, then first of all, Israel... This is on two separate... Do you know the story of Israel wiretapping the White House and blackmailing Bill Clinton?
No.
Okay, well, this is you can see this in the New York Post. There's been two independently written books on this.
Yeah, but do you know the story about the NSA wiretapping Angela Merkel?
No, okay, sure. I'm just saying...
I'm giving you examples.
If Israel doesn't treat us like an ally, Israel ropes us into these things because they know we're going to back them up.
And we don't treat Germany like an ally, which is the point.
No, I know, but
welcome to international espionage and warfare.
But if you're America first, why would you want to get exploited into this war in the Middle East that you care so little about?
Why are you trying to make me single on Israel when all of these other countries are doing equally or worse things?
So, everybody's asking, it's a huge story, I didn't intend to be this big, what's the beef between me and Tim Pool? X came out over the weekend with a major update, and it basically killed all the live streams, entertainment shows, media shows, conservative liberal shows. Everybody was saying, oh my God, this is devastating. We figured it was a glitch. We even showed the live feed when you posted it. And I said, this is probably just a glitch. Please fix it. And they fix it by Monday. Well, by Monday evening, Tim Pool comes out and says, that's because you criticized Trump and basically the war, so you're not popular now. And the fact that that was a mirror of all these known Israeli bots and people associated with Israeli propaganda, which is on record, $1.3 billion this year alone, financed by the Knesset to brainwash the American people. I mean, this is treason. And the primary members of Congress and to pass the NDAA for Israel to take over. And when I saw him post on a video I did where I explained, okay, turns out it was just a glitch like we thought, really let me know he's following Israeli talking points and it pissed me off, okay? And then I pointed out last night that he met secretly with Netanyahu. It came out in the Israeli news months after last year. He admitted, okay, I met with him secret, but the details are secret Chatham House rules. He spun that and others said, yeah, I noticed I met with him. It was public. The bot said, oh, it was a public podcast. It was cameras, TV there. None of that's true.
I got late word that I was invited to a private roundtable meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It was under what's called Chatham House rules, for those that are not familiar. This means that you cannot reveal anybody who attended, nor attribute anything to any one individual, as they can deny it, and they would. I legit thought they would maintain Chatham House rules, meaning you can't quote the Prime Minister, you can't quote his officials and the other people who were there, but you can report what was said generally. If you wanted an official quote on a specific matter, you would then ask an official once the meeting was wrapped, and they'd provide you the exact quote. Or they would just say outright, like, we ain't putting our quotes on that one.
So maybe Tim's just dumb and copied what the Israeli bots were putting out, but he does meet with the guy that gives the orders in their eighth part of the eight-front war.
This is the eighth front. The disinformation campaign is among us, takes a second for a lie to circulate the world, and then you have to battle it with the only weapon you have, which is the truth. And truth is slower than lies and more difficult to ascertain because you have to get the facts. You have to, when you lie, you can say anything. You should continue with your passion to speak for the truth and to shame those who spread the lies. I don't see any other solution. Do you?
No.
Tim Pool is the NPC, and you're a real human being. So no one's ever heard of Tim Pool. You're the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 19th of August, 2026. Very glad to be here with you. We got a lot of news to cover today, a lot of videos to show you as well. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls in the third hour. Of course, we've got the returns from the primary elections yesterday. Bit of a disappointment in a couple different ways, but certainly a bellwether in a couple different ways. Obviously, James Fishback didn't do as well as we hoped or even expected. And, you know, I mean, what are you supposed to say? Yesterday, or whenever we had Joel Webbin in the studio, we were talking afterwards, and he asked me, like, well, you know, what do you think the odds are? Like, how, you know, what percentage of the vote do you think Fishback's going to get? And my answer, well, it had to be genuine. I have no idea. I have no idea. No idea. Because if you go off, if I were to go off just the evidence of my eyes, I'd have to think you'd had 90%. He's the only person I ever saw campaign in Florida. Every day, it seemed like there were these massive events that he was having, a couple hundred people here or there. Post after post to people showing photos of like driving through videos, driving through the neighborhood where Fishback sign after Fishback sign. And it's just like, how can this not translate into a more sizable portion of the population? I genuinely, like, what is motivating? What is driving people? Is it really the boomers? Is it really Fox News? Is that really what's going on? Is it's just like the only people that vote are people owned over the age of 60. And their sole source of information about what's going on in the world is Fox News. Is that really, is this just a matter of time? I mean, is it even worth it trying to convert these people to the not establishment Republicans, or do we just wait them out? And I'm asking honestly, because I'm not sure how much you could do as a person like Fishback. I'm not sure, like, if they, in a lot of ways, kind of like, well, that is the only viable path forward, and apparently it's not viable, so what do we do now? What do you do now? Because when we did the America First versus MAGA debate, the basically main argument was, like, you should do all of this in the primaries, that, like, it's too late now, that you got to just support the Republican candidates because they're Republican. And the time to object was really during the primaries. But then if you actually take a look at the primaries, it's like, gee, it sure seems like the establishment does absolutely everything it can to completely firewall off the primaries and predetermine the outcome long before it actually happens. With the money, and I, you know, apparently Byron Donald spent 50-something million dollars on this governor race. That sounds too much. Maybe that might be too much, but I think that's right, if I'm not mistaken, because I thought it was Fishback spent about $1.5 million, like almost nothing, compared to 55. And it's like, is that it? Is it just the money? I'm just trying to figure out if there's even a possible path electorally for any change, let alone the level of change necessary to save this country. And yesterday was a pretty big wet blanket on that. But you also had, of course, Democrat socialist winning. So this is the sort of frustration, is that the Republicans 10 years ago instituted a victorious non-establishment victory that should have been a tidal wave that the Republican Party rode to prominence and dominance electorally on the back of the Trump-esque populism, which from its beginning had very basic, achievable goals and reasonable ones. And there's almost a weird kind of like Vindman, like the Vindman race is sort of the perfect example, right? So Alexander Vindman, he is like the resistance guy, right? He is the embodiment of the anti-Trump establishment, the deep state, you know, cross-party traitor class. Like Alexander Vindman is that personified. And he lost his race yesterday to a far left Democrat. And I can't help but wonder, and I don't think they do, but I'd like to ask, like, the people like Vindman, who spent the last 10 years destroying the fabric of our nation to try to do everything they can to crush Donald Trump, are they perhaps looking at the last 10 years and thinking, gee, maybe this wasn't the best way to spend our energy? Turns out while we were spending all of our energy doing everything we can to destroy Donald Trump and his followers, it just set up America for a communist takeover. Gee, maybe we were focused on the wrong things. Maybe, you know, the threat of having a border wall isn't the biggest threat that we face, actually. Alexander Vindman, a national security expert who was thrust into the spotlight when he testified. When he testified during Trump's first impeachment, he was thrust. Oh, he was so unwilling. He raised over $16 million to win his bid of the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate, but he lost to Democrat socialist Angie Nixon, who raised less than $1 million. So you just have to wonder, does the bipartisan, you know, control party, are they, you know, regretting this, or is this actually the outcome that they desire? Because when I look at the Dukes, I wonder the same thing about your average normie Democrat. That's like, are they worried about the way things are going? Are they worried about the socialists who are just openly espousing their desire to destroy the Constitution, get rid of the Senate, get rid of the Electoral College, get rid of the Supreme Court? I mean, do they want that? Because that's what they're getting. And at the end of the day, I don't think they mind. I think they do kind of want that, actually. I think there's a reason they embrace their radicals, mostly because they agree with them. But it just seems like the center has been shattered, but this is kind of the thing, is that for the Republican Party, the center has held. Like, again, how strange is this? How odd is this? That the Democratic Party in 2016 crushed its popular uprising. Bernie Sanders probably should have gotten the nomination over Hillary Clinton if there hadn't been the top-level, top-down machinations that, you know, forced her into the nominee position. So the establishment, like, crushed the socialist populist uprising in 2016, whereas the Republicans embraced the political outsider shattering norms and shattering established paradigms for a long time. And then somehow in the ensuing 10 years, that obviously effective and powerful and resonant Trump MAGA messaging has been completely subsumed and consumed and folded into the classic neocon BS Republican establishment, whereas the Democrats, retaining a huge share of institutional authority, are basically ceding their seats, ceding ground to the radicals in their party, who essentially are just taking it over, full-fledged, and the Vindman race is just one of several yesterday that foretell this inevitable outcome. Deep state Trump impeachment hoaxer Alexander Vindman loses election to far-left Democrat socialist. Which I really do wonder, like, is the classic Democratic, you know, resistance movement the Hillaryites, the Bidenites? I mean, are they regretting the role they've played in undermining the thing they kept screeching about wanting to save? Everything they did, all of the lies, all of the scams, all of the fraudulent investigations, all of the fake scandals that never existed, the continuous outpouring. We've talked about it before, but guys, you can go onto Google News, you can set a date where you're looking at headlines, and you can go day by day through like the first Trump administration. Every day there were new scandals. You don't even remember, because I didn't remember. I covered it every day at the time. But go back now and look at like, because I remember seeing it when I was looking up what happened with Event 201. And I was thinking, like, what was going on in D.C. while Event 201 was happening in New York City? And if you open that up, it was right in the middle of the Trump impeachment. Vindman was making noise and Pelosi was surprise. You know, Pelosi unveils surprise witness who claims Trump, da 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 da. And it's just like every day there was some new scandal, none of it mattered. None of it was real. I mean, it was this endless cascade, this endless, you know, mud thrown on the tracks. Just slow us down. Just grind things down. Just don't let anything actually happen. Constantly keep Americans in this hyper anxious state of vulnerability so you can manipulate them at will. I wonder if all of that effort that they put into saving democracy by stopping Donald Trump because evil orange man wanted a border wall. I wonder if they regret that now that their actions have laid the table and paved the runway for the DSA to take over and genuinely and without hesitation or second thought actually destroy democracy, actually undercut it, destroy it, eradicate the functions of our government that actually give the people a voice. But then if you think about the character of these people, I don't think they actually care. I think they're actually fine with all of this. If they were legitimate about anything they believed, they never would have done what they did anyway. So it was never about democracy. I don't think they're particularly upset that they've paved the way for socialism anyway. Infamous Trump impeachment witness Alexander Vindman lost his U.S. Senate primary in Florida on Tuesday as far-left Democratic Socialist Angie Nixon took the victory and will face off against Republican Senator Ashley Moody come November. Moody was removed from her position as Florida Attorney General and appointed by Governor Ron DeSantis to fill ex-Senator Marco Rubio's seat when he left to join the Trump administration. Nixon has been a state representative since 2020, is a Democratic Socialist of America member, and longtime union organizer. President Trump commented on the news via Truth Social on Tuesday night, writing, "Sleazebag Vindman loses tonight to radical left lunatic. How cool is that?" Again, it's like, you know, Trump has this idea that like it's a good thing that the Democrats are going socialist because he thinks that normal people will reject it. But they're not rejecting it, are they? I mean, Vindman just got ousted by a radical leftist. So it really does seem like the establishment itself, whether intentionally or not, is getting exactly what it wants, where what could have been an effective rescue of the United States in our hour of need, if we'd implemented the MAGA agenda 10 years ago, actually expelled people, actually solved the corruption, didn't get the election stolen in 2020, if we'd been allowed to actually have what we voted for, if the Republicans would have just gotten behind Trump and actually fulfilled his will in the first administration and continued to the second instead of hamstringing him and betraying him at every pass. You know, maybe we'd be in a different situation now. But instead, what could have been and what was the nascent populist revolution that Trump ignited 10 years ago has been completely taken over by the establishment, whereas the establishment party and the Democrats is now fully embracing socialism. And this is maybe the worst possible outcome that could have ever happened from Trump's entry into politics. It's ruined everything. Beside a massive gap in campaign funding, the more progressive Democrat candidate defeated Vindman by about around 13% of the vote. Vindman, a Ukrainian-born Jew who moved to the Little Odessa neighborhood of New York as a child in the early 1980s, was serving as the U.S. National Security Council in 2019 when he listened in on a call between Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Apparently more loyal to his home country, its president, their shared religion, and the Democrat Party, Vindman narked to his twin brother Eugene, currently a Democrat representative for Virginia, alleging POTUS was pressuring Zelensky to investigate Joe and Hunter Biden. Eugene filed complaints with the White House lawyers, and Alex later ended up testifying before Congress as a key witness in the first Trump impeachment inquiry, becoming a Democrat and mainstream media darling. Reportedly helping his brother from the shadows without taking a public role in testifying, Eugene also played a role in the Trump impeachment hoax. POTUS was eventually acquitted by the Senate in 2020, but both brothers were physically escorted from the White House before being kicked off of the National Security Council. Just to remind you who this actual traitor is. Actual. Literal traitor. And this is one of those things. It's like, okay, Trump is celebrating that he lost the election. This is obviously just Trump's personal, you know, he's just gratified out of a sense of personal revenge against the guy. Not actually something we're celebrating. I would actually be happier if, like, the establishment Democrat won. That meant at least the normal Democratic people weren't going over to the Democratic Socialist uprising, but that is what's happening. So it's not actually good for America that this is happening. Trump is celebrating it because he sees it as a personal revenge. The question I guess I would ask is, why didn't he throw Vindman in prison? I guess the solution to this should not be to celebrate the fact that he lost his election to a rabid communist, but instead, you should have put him in jail for committing treason, for violating his oath, for leaking confidential information to his brother and the media, for lying about it and starting the whole impeachment program that was going on while there was this, disease bubbling up in China. Maybe some energy should have been spent on that, but the media was busy fabricating scandals to add to the impeachment bonfire. So why didn't you throw these people in prison? I think that's the problem, actually, at the bottom of all of it. And again, like, it's happening, folks. Like, they're voting for socialists. They're voting for democratic socialists. They're going to get into office. They're going to eradicate our constitutional protections. Like, it's happening. There's no slowing down. Shock poll Al-Sayed opens 7-point lead over GOP rival after recent data showed him trailing. So Michigan Senate candidate Abdul El-Sayed came ahead with a healthy lead on his opponent, Republican Mike Rogers, in the latest polling, following recent surveys showing a much closer race. According to polling from Susquehanna, released on Wednesday, El-Sayed is polling at 46%, while Rogers is 7 points behind at 39%. Other recent polling has shown a much closer race. A Fox News survey had Rogers leading El-Sayed at 51-47. Another poll from this month, conducted by Technometrica, conducted an online survey for the League of American Workers, had El-Sayed leading by 3 points. Rogers led in a late July epic MRA/MIRS by 4 points, though that was within the poll's margin of order. El-Sayed is a progressive Democrat who managed to defeat Representative Haley Stevens in his primary. His association with progressive and controversial streamer Hassan Piker and past comments have earned El-Sayed blowback from fellow Dems and given material to Republicans. Yeah, but, that stuff kind of doesn't matter that much anymore. I mean, kind of obviously, right? This is a new media landscape. And, like, he's campaigning with a guy who said America deserved a 9/11 and it hasn't hurt him electorally. The things Al-Sayed has said, he's on record. This poll was after the leaked video exposing El-Sayed literally saying, "I effing hate this part of the state," talking about the most historical, the most beautiful, the most tourist and attractive part of the state. He's literally on video just being like, "I hate this place. We're going to transform. Like, this place is going to go away." They're still voting for him. So, like, we have to come to terms with this. We have to understand that, like, at this point, I think people on the left have been driven so insane, have spent the last 10 years getting a constant drip feed of anxiety-producing fear porn that doesn't exist. And if it doesn't exist, I mean, you can't actually do anything about it, meaning that all that anxiety and stress that's being caused in that population has nowhere to go. So it just festers. And for 10 years, it's been like constant barrage of fake scandals and fake crimes and all this stuff that's just like literally driven the Democrats insane to the point where they actually don't care about any of this stuff anymore. They want just like tangible results. And so they'll vote for the person that just seems like they're going to give the best result. It's almost like electorally kind of what's going on is what happens with like white girls in Muslim neighborhoods when the Muslims move in to like a UK neighborhood or whatever. And it's like, look, I know these people are mean. I know they don't, aren't actually good for me, but like my side's just weak. So I just want somebody strong. The strong people out there are messing people up and I want to be on their side. And I think that's why you're seeing the, you know, Muslims getting elected and this sort of stuff. People just want to know that their government is serving them and the Democrats are the only ones that even pretend to serve the people. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense that like they genuinely don't care? I can't explain. I really can't explain why they genuinely don't care. And this goes back. I mean, this has been the case for a while. Remember, we watched the Abigail Spanberger debate against her and they were just like asked her something. They were like, why did you do this? And she just smiled and stared forward and didn't answer. And it was like, that's the future of the Democrat Party. They don't care. You don't have to have the best arguments. It just doesn't matter to them. They just have been brainwashed into thinking that like you have to vote Democrat and you have to go even farther and you can't have anybody in the establishment because, you know, in large part of just what a ridiculous failure Biden and Kamala were. And they have the stain of sort of Israel complicity on them. So they're looking for people that are just like anti-Israel, anti-big tech, anti-flock, anti-data centers. And again, you know, this could have been us. It could have been the Republicans. We are the ones who actually have principled beliefs about privacy and the evils of mass surveillance. We're against censorship. Like, these are all the things that we were actually the champions of. We have surrendered them all willingly to the left. Not us, obviously, but the people in power have literally, they looked out over the panoply. They looked out over the landscape of electoral politics. And they saw a huge swath of the American population gravitating towards populist policies, a huge number of them Republicans. They saw Donald Trump win against all odds, championing this totally unique and totally correct populist message. And they decided, let's give all of that to the, let's let the Democrats take that over. We'll just, you know, continue to capture to an even greater degree, an increasingly small number of boomer sicko fans. And again, I can't help but think that it has to all be on purpose. Like this was actually the plan and that it wasn't a mistake that they just happened to miss a golden opportunity to cement the Republican Party in power as something that could actually save this country. They willingly gave it up so the left could champion all these obviously good policies. I'll show you on the other side. It's pretty blatant.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that power plant formula If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, an absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, the shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Back, folks. This is War Room Live. We're going to continue to talk about sort of the results from yesterday and what they say politically. It's where we are politically overall. Of course, in Florida, Donalds won pretty handily. Fishback came in third there. Still got... He basically swept the colleges. And again, if the Republicans genuinely wanted to win political power into the future, they'd probably be trying to incorporate at least some of the messaging and style that James Fishback brings to the table, but instead they've rejected it outright in favor of Byron Donalds. Five takeaway from Tuesday's primaries in Florida and Alaska. Republicans cement dominance in Florida. Democrats see promising results in Alaska Senate race. Voters continue to cast ballots by mail despite Trump's opposition. A centrist Democrat advanced in Alaska, bolstering the party's hope of winning control of the Senate in November elections that will determine control of Congress, while a left-wing candidate scored an upset victory in Florida, the latest chapter in an insurgency that's roiling the party. Meanwhile, candidates endorsed by President Donald Trump have mixed results. upset in Florida hurts odds for Democrats in Senate race. Alexander Vindman, a national security expert who was thrust into the spotlight when he testified during Trump's first impeachment, raised over $16 million in his bid to win the Democrat primary for U.S. Senate, but he lost to Democrat socialist Angie Nixon, who raised less than $1 million. They say that this will lengthen the odds for Democratic victory in November against incumbent Senator Ashley Moody. Nonpartisan analysis said Vindman stood a better chance of appealing to more centrist voters, whose support would be crucial in a state where there are 1.5 more registered Republicans than Democrats. Democrats needed to pick up 4 seats from Republicans to win control of the 100-seat Senate. Florida was already a reach for Democrats. Now it's likely beyond their grasp. I guess we'll see about that. I don't know exactly. I don't. Because it gets weird when you get to the general election and what's going to motivate people. I would think a bunch of Trump supporters, even if they aren't happy with what Trump is doing now, like myself, have a bad taste in our mouth about Vindman and would never in our lives ever cast a vote for Alexander Vindman. He's a traitor. Like, what the hell? No, of course not. This Angie Nixon woman, I've never heard of her. Let's hear her ideas out. So I don't know. I don't know how this is actually going to play out. I don't know if they should be so confident that a socialist candidate is that much of a worse choice for Democrats than Alexander Vindman. I think that might get flipped on its head come the general election, but I don't know. But again, you know, electoral politics, like there's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of like, okay, you know, Vindman has a very recognizable name, which you'd think would give him a boost, but he's also, his name is recognizable because he's tied directly into the impeachment resistance crap, which is not popular with young people, not popular with the socialist Democrats and young people. Obviously, hugely unpopular with the Trump supporters. Like, I think if you were to ask a Trump supporter, would you rather vote for a Vindman or this other woman who's a socialist? They might just be like, well, at least she's not a Vindman. Maybe I will vote for her. So I don't know. Republicans cement their dominance in Florida. Florida used to be one of the hotly contested battleground states, but has become increasingly Republican in recent years. Tuesday's return offered further evidence, with Republican candidates drawing roughly 1.6 million votes in the statewide U.S. Senate and governor contest, compared to 1.2 million for Democrats. It's also the first election conducted under a new congressional map pushed through this spring by Republican state legislature, which could yield 4 more seats for Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives in November. This would leave the state with a House delegation of 24 Republicans and only 4 Democrats. Along with the U.S. Senate race, nonpartisan analysts say Republicans are likely to win the governor's race as well. Republican Byron Donalds would be the state's first black governor if he defeats Democrat David Jolly. Democrats see a northern light in Alaska. In Alaska, by contrast, centrist Democrat Mary Peltola scored a strong result in the state's nonpartisan primary in U.S. Senate, drawing more votes than incumbent Republican Senator Dan S. Sullivan. The two will face off in November in what Democrats see as their best pickup opportunities. Alaska has not had a Democrat senator since 2014. So again, to me, the takeaways are socialists overall are more popular than the establishment Democrats and are winning elections when that is sort of the contest. But that also across the board, you know, Republican votes may have been up, but we also lost a lot of ground. Right. In Alaska, that's a sign of the times, right? A Democrat senator in Alaska would be a little bit unique and out of the ordinary. Trump's endorsements did okay, but other ones were blown out of the water. In Wyoming, Trump-backed Representative Harriet Hageman easily won the Republican nomination for Senate. Trump endorsed Elijah on Wednesday. I told Congressman Corey Mills of Florida, a great friend of mine, to get out of the race, but he wouldn't listen. He wrote on Truth platform, we now have a great candidate, Ryan Elijah, running in his place. So, I think the magic is gone. I think the magic might be gone. PA Democrats declare victory in solid Trump district in Butler County special election. You know, the place where Trump almost got his head blown off. They voted for Democrats. Pennsylvania Democrats are claiming victory in Butler County's special election Tuesday night, with a win secured in the state house, a position formerly held by the GOP for nearly 30 years. Brandon Dukes is leading the unofficial results for the state's 12th district by less than 100 votes. He ran against Republican Scott Timko after Representative Stephanie something resigned earlier this year. As the results stand, the win could give Pennsylvania House Democrats a two-seat majority in the chamber until November. Governor Josh Shapiro commented on the race, saying Brandon Dukes just flipped a state district in Butler County, a seat Trump carried by 18 points, and the GOP rep won by 30 points in 2024. Pennsylvanians are rising up and using their power to combat the chaos, cruelty, and corruption, and we're not slowing down. So they flipped a seat that Trump carried by 18 points and that the GOP representative previously won by 30 points. But the Democrats just took it. I don't think it's actually going that well. I don't think, you know, Byron Donald's victory over James Fishback means that MAGA is unstoppable. I think it means that MAGA is shooting itself in the foot by rejecting preferable young, youthful, not establishment candidates and are surrendering very fertile ground to the Democrats. And as we just talked about Abu al-Sayed, here's a commercial he made, clip number 31, which again, I don't know, this type of stuff just genuinely baffles the hell out of me. The Republicans have always been the ones who were against surveillance. Traditionally, the libertarian wing, especially, you can debate when it came to like the Patriot Act and stuff. The establishment still had a very firm grip at that point and have ever since. But the left never cared about this stuff. They cared about it if it targeted black people, then it was racist. But they didn't care about it on principle. They don't actually love the Constitution. They don't actually love the Bill of Rights. They actually openly want to destroy those things. So why, for the love of God, is some Muslim interloper, Democrat socialist, taking this position over and above the Republican, who is apparently tied in very deeply with this? Let's go to clip 31. Here's Abu al-Sayed making an ad about flock cameras because why not just abandon that incredibly popular position to people who fundamentally and constitutionally do not agree with it? Let's watch.
Hey, does it ever feel like you're in a cage, kind of stuck, being watched? Well, that's because you are. There's been this mass proliferation of flock cameras, any and everywhere. Little cameras watching your every move to collect information about you without you even noticing. That's all been part of a regime that's been pushed by, well, this guy.
Somebody must be doing something exactly right.
But who would be complaining?
Somebody whose privacy was violated. You can't have your privacy violated if you don't know your privacy is violated, right?
Who happens to be the guy I'm running against? That's Mike Rogers, who wants to be Michigan's next U.S. Senator. Not if I have anything to say about it. So if you believe like me that you shouldn't just be surveilled because you're driving along the street, then I hope I can earn your support. Because we've got to stand up to this mass surveillance apparatus that is being built behind closed doors and behind our backs.
So here you go. That's an ad for Abdul for Senate. They don't actually care. You know that, right? They're just smart enough to go, hey, this is a really popular position that's really obvious and really easy to take. And you don't have to justify it at all. You just go, I just want people to have privacy. And it's a position that the Democrats don't actually hold. They've never actually held this. They don't care about your privacy. They are going to be the first to use the flock cameras to lock you in your home under some sort of lockdown measure. They're lying about caring about this, but the people do care about it. Normal people do care about this, and it's just an obvious choice to make. Very, very obvious choice to make. So al-Sayed opens up 7-point lead over GOP rival after recent data showed him trailing. Meanwhile, you want to hear what literally the Republican leadership, the House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, clip number 3. Here's him explaining why the economy isn't quite up to the level that it was advertised. during the campaign. Let's go to clip number three here. Here's Mike Johnson, leader of the Congressional Republicans.
The table for the U.S. economy to take off like a rocket. If you look at it, we were doing that the first quarter of this year, and then we got into this conflict with Iran. Now look.
Oh. We got into this conflict in Iran. Did you already just say, let me repeat it for you here. He said the economy was set to take off like a rocket. Then we happened to get into this little war in Iran. And that upset everything. We happened to just get into this conflict. You mean we were set up for victory when you decided to hit the F everything up button? We were, already kind of disappointed a year in that more hadn't been done, but we were, still trying to have some faith in the Trump administration. Hey, some things are happening, so, let's keep this. As long as he doesn't go to war with Iran, I think, we have hope. As long as he doesn't do something just utterly retarded and without reason that will inevitably and without doubt completely derail the economic recovery and draw us into a massive economic, military, geopolitical disaster. Like, as long as he doesn't do something utterly voluntary and pointless and retarded, then we got a pretty good shot here. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I must have misheard you. I'm sorry, I thought you said do something utterly retarded and pointless and stupid and destructive. Sorry, I did that thing instead. So it's our fault for talking about it, right? Well, it must be Mike Johnson's fault for spreading that panicking label. Can we watch it again? Let's watch it again, because it's not often you hear the truth from congressmen. Certainly not Republican congressmen. Certainly not about what is actually causing the Republicans to lose, what is actually driving people towards democratic socialism. I'll give you a hint, folks. It's two things, and they're both Israel. It's our warfare on behalf of Israel, our sickening sycophancy, slathering slavishness for the genocidal, monstrous state of psychopaths known as Israel. And it's all of the money that's costing us and all of the effort we're putting towards that. And the humiliation that occurs on a daily basis. Let's watch it again. Clip number three, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House for the Republicans, explaining exactly why the Republicans are utterly and completely effed this round and probably forever into the future. Let's watch.
We set the table for the U.S. economy to take off like a rocket. If you look at it, we were doing that the first quarter of this year, and then we got into this conflict with Iran. Now, look.
Yeah, we got into this conflict with Iran, and hey, look, sure, it was a choice that we made. Okay, yes, could have just not made it. We could have just continued on, and we'd be in a better place in every possible regard. Not just electorally, but financially and spiritually at that, but also just like probably they would not be doing what they're doing. They wouldn't control the Strait of Hormuz. They wouldn't actually be endeavoring to create a nuclear weapon because, we killed the guy who had the fatwa against that. Whatever. We can just go on and on, but it's just the same thing over and over. Meanwhile, far be it for me to actually question the successes of Trump's second administration. We'll go to clip number 14 here from Anthony Aguero live. Meanwhile, in Arizona, this is what the U.S.-Mexico border looks like at this moment. Let's watch. Oh, look, it's completely wide open.
Can't be shut.
They're nailed open.
Yeah, they put doors in the wall. You didn't know that? You didn't know they... I mean, if we're going to build a wall, I mean, how are you going to get through it? You got to have a door. Yes, the giant steel bollards built across the Mexican border have gigantic openings in them. Why not? Why not? So, I mean, if the one thing we got from Trump was that he closed the border, A, not good enough, B, didn't actually happen. Obviously, he's not doing what the Biden administration did and bringing as many people in as humanly possible, but that'll start up again once Trump's out of office because of all this other bullcrap he's pulled. So it's not like the immigrants are like, it's not like if they don't get in during Trump's administration, they just disappear, right? They don't just go home. There's just a backlog. And as soon as Trump's out of office, the Democrat Socialists will come in and they'll get rid of the border and they'll make it to where you can actually get citizenship just by coming over here. So that'll be the end of the nation forever. But, you know, at least Iran controls the strait now. Sorry, what are we doing there again? Sorry, what was the point of that again? At least they're not getting a nuclear weapon, right? I mean, they could still. And we didn't actually achieve that goal, but it's probably worth it, though. Probably definitely worth it. Meanwhile, the Republicans are putting up some new blood. Well, that might not be the right way to put it. The blood is very old, but the person it's in is new. Stunning debate flop from Darlene Graham. This is Lindsey Graham's sister, who was made a senator because her warmongering closeted homosexual brother died. So now we're stuck with her, I guess. Here was her answering a simple question about China and Taiwan, clip number 15. Here's her, making a fool of herself. Let's watch.
Senator, are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States? If so, why?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States? And if so, why or how?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security that I'm not that informed on national security. So, but I do support the military.
Do you hear the people booing? So, unfortunately, borrowing Mark Levin's lucky brooch didn't do her any favors. It didn't help her very much.
You can borrow my lucky brooch. It's 2 feet wide. And they can't call you an anti-Semite if you wear it.
It's a big brooch. Now, to be honest with you, that was no better or worse than an answer given by AOC when she was already Congresswoman. I bring it up all the time. I really find the clip. But that exact thing, actually. She was asked a question about Palestine, Israel, and she was just like, I don't really know, so pass. So I'll pass on that question. Thank you. Yeah, sort of the same thing Darlene did over here. And I think we have a responsibility as genuine human beings to point this out and not cover it up and point out that I don't want a senator who's just like, oh, national security, not my bag. I do support the troops, though. Okay, great. Now, in the only disaster from that debate series. And, like I said, I mean, it's kind of a shame that I feel like every show after an election day, I'm just like completely blackpilled. I don't even want to talk about this stuff. It all sucks. But it's just because it's like on election day, it's just all that hope you may have had at one point just gets crushed. Just utterly and completely crushed. It's like, okay, it's time. It's time to see if our faith in the American electorate will pay off. It's time to see if the American people, at least half of them, can pull their heads out of their butts and look around them for 5 minutes to see what the hell's going on. I wonder if they did this year. It's like, nope. They elected all the worst people again. Great. Oh, look, they're convinced by AI videos of Thomas Massie and Ilhan Omar to vote against Thomas Massie. The single most legitimate dude in the entire government, as far as I'm concerned. So, if we're electorally just not allowed to change things, which is not happening, it's just we're not being allowed to vote for people that we want to vote for, and we just don't have the organization to overcome the money and the establishment. It really is as simple as that. I mean, Fishback might be the premier example, where it's just like you physically could not do more than that dude. You physically couldn't. But it doesn't matter. If you don't have the Fox News endorsement, if you don't have the Donald Trump endorsement, it just doesn't matter. If you don't have the endorsement of the Republican system, they just keep you out. Remember, this is so not new. If you remember, it was all the way back in, it must have been 2012, when Ron Paul was screwed out of the presidential nomination because of machinations by the Republican Party. It's been a very, very long trap we've been in. And sort of the I don't know. I really genuinely, I don't know. I'm going to show you a clip on the other side from Shane Gillis and Ari Shaffir. And I really genuinely don't understand. Because I talk to anybody, and everybody I talk to is just like, everybody gets it. I mean, how can you not get it? How can you not understand that our country is being destroyed? How can you not, like, even people that used to be like totally, you know, establishment, like never question anything, they all have been laid off by an Indian person in big tech. Literally, I'm like thinking of people that I know where it's like, even they are just like, yeah, something is messed up. You're like, this is wrong. All my friends are getting fired. All my coworkers are getting laid off. Like, something's wrong here. Everybody gets something wrong. Everybody understands there's going to have to be like some major changes to set things right. And they talk like that. They talk as if they're ready for those big changes. And then it's like, okay, well, we have to at least at the very start, like, deport immigrants. People are like, but that's kind of mean. I don't know if I want to do that. So I feel like the American population is just like schizophrenic. It just doesn't make any sense. All the people that voted for Trump to specifically destroy the neocon establishment, to specifically stop the Middle Eastern wars, to stop all of the crap that the neocons did to us for several decades, rejecting that outright, only for 10 years later to be fully hook, line, and sinker bought into exactly that same thing. It's madness. All of this is just utter and complete madness. And I got no way of justifying it. I think we gotta take control of the shadows. I think we're still in the cave and they're still watching the shadows. We have to take control.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. We're about to do it. Put on your spelunking gear. Put on your helmet, your hard hat with the flashlight on the front. Get your harness tight. We're spelunking into the cavernous minds of the normies here. We have some of those in the proximity of normie. Shane Gillis. Here he is talking about what's needed these days politically to solve the problems here in America. Let's watch.
But I think it was Teddy who did the, he called it the square deal, which is kind of what we're approaching, which he broke up all the guys that were making all the money, the 1% basically.
Yeah.
He called it the square deal. Was that Teddy?
Wow. Yeah. Focused on the three C's, fair consumer protection, control of giant corporations, and conservation of natural resources.
So we're getting
resources.
Close to, we need another
Yellowstone
Teddy,
was all him.
Where somebody's willing to abuse their executive power to shut down whatever doing right now.
But the thing is, like, don't you think that big business and corporations and super PACs and all these different things have gotten so deeply entwined in politics that if a guy ever tried to do anything remotely like that, they'd kill him.
Yeah, we probably went too far.
Look, we thought Trump was going to do it. It's clear he's not going to do any of those things.
We're going to have to, one or two guys are going to have to get shot in the head.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Or something else is going to happen. Some other radical change.
They're so intertwined now. It's like you can't
exactly.
Get back.
Exactly.
There's so much dirty money.
Why? What are we going to give up, fellas?
No.
We can't lose it.
No.
We got a good thing going.
Yeah, we
got
to get somebody in
it's
there.
Funny
it ain't
how
killing the politicians. It's
slowly
the
but surely, people try to turn everything into some sort of a totalitarian government. They slowly want more and more power, more and more control. They want more to siphon more and more money. It's just over time, that's always what you're fighting against. Always.
But don't you feel like we're at a boiling point? It feels like something's going to happen.
Yeah, it's pitchfork era.
Something should happen.
No one can
right.
pay their bills.
They got
right.
flop
Everyone's
cameras
roommates
everywhere.
I feel like that's actually a pretty good rundown. I like that little rambling right there. It's just like nobody can afford a home. They're living at their parents at 35. There's flock cameras everywhere. Yeah, thank you, Republicans, who have been the champion of all of this. So I agree with everything that they said. It's just they're lying. These guys are the same guys who are like, man, but ICE like arresting people. Like, is that really what we want to do? But like, have you seen those videos of ICE is like arresting people? And like, I don't know, man. Is that really what like, is that who we are? But you know, somebody should abuse their executive power to set things right. Just do it without like, offending my postmodern sensibilities. This is nonsense. Yes, we need somebody. And the thing is, like, when Joe Rogan is like, yeah, but it all goes towards totalitarianism, it's like, yeah, that's true. So there's an element of that is true. So don't you want to wield it? So don't you want to, if it always goes towards totalitarianism, if no matter what, the power you impart to the government is going to grow and be accrued and build upon itself, shouldn't the people who do that be gaining that power on the basis of benefiting the American people? Because here's the obvious part of all of this. There's no shyness when it comes to abusing executive privilege from Donald Trump or Joe Biden or anybody else in a position of power. There's no limitations that they abide by when it comes to the Constitution. The rules that are set out that are meant to limit them are ridden over, completely trodden upon over and over again. For example, we've been at war with Iran for 150 days or more. That's not supposed to happen without a declaration of war from the Congress. And we paid lip service to this 60 days on when they said, oh, we're ending the war, but we're going to start a new one tomorrow. So now the clock starts going again, really, because it ran out a month ago and we just haven't even brought it up. So it's not like there's actually a institutional barrier or institutional allergy to abusing their power or doing totalitarian things. It just can never be done for the benefit of the American people. They will destroy the Constitution to bring illegal immigrants into the country completely at odds with the law. They just won't do the same thing to get them out. So I agree with these guys. They're all just cowards that don't mean what they say as soon as the rubber hits the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
By the way, folks, this is the impossible part of all of this, and I'm just repeating myself, but it's because the same thing happens over and over. It's because the same conflict rears its head day after day, hour after hour, and that is that we are. I mean, this. I'm gonna play like six videos right now, and they represent the dichotomy. This is what the American people are being asked to choose between. And it is literally the most sycophantic, Israel first, slobbering debasement on one side, and just open anti-white hatred, vicious, vigilante violence, blood libels, corruption, manipulation. It's just so. I guess these are our options with the current crop of leadership. You either have slaves to a foreign state who refuse steadfastly to do anything for your, even just like the legal, simple, you have a right and an obligation to do it, they still won't do it, let alone exceed those narrow bounds defined by the Democrats of what Republicans are allowed to do. God forbid we, you know, try something and force them to stop us. We take it upon ourselves. We would never. Even things that, and this is the routine case, well, if we do that, do you really want to hand that weapon over to the Democrats? I mean, if we start going after them, I mean, imagine how crazy they would get if we opened that door for them. They already did it. They already did it, folks. They already went after the Trump supporters. It was called January 6th. They rounded up thousands of us. They targeted the top people, the personalities, the influencers, the social media stars first to send a message. Like, they already did this. So you tell me how people are still making an argument saying Republicans can't go after the Democrats because that's not who we are. And that would set a bad precedent. When the precedent has been set, they already did it to us. There's no putting that cat back in the bag. There's no closing that Pandora's box. So those are the new rules. Why are we not playing by them? And the answer is because the people in power don't want to. They don't care. And they're not made to care. Because they have no fear of what happens if they don't do it. Pay attention to what I'm saying. They have no fear of failing to uphold their voters' desires. Not just desires, existential requirements. They have no fear. Why? Because the establishment will keep them in power, and even if they happen to get voted out, they can join the board of a weapons manufacturer and be rolling in cash and doing a speaking tour for the rest of their lives. So when they are sitting there and they're weighing whether to take a stand against the establishment and do what's right for the American people and be ousted by AIPAC and be slandered across the news and have all of your speaking engagements cut and your book deal's eradicated by doing the right thing, or I'm just going to go along to get along, and yeah, my constituents are going to be mad at me, and the, you know, I'm going to get a lot of crap online, but it doesn't actually matter. I'm still going to be temporally rich. I'm still going to be, you know, physically and monetarily empowered by rejecting this. And, you know, this is obviously this is the failure of our system. The whole idea is supposed to be that in the back of their minds all the time is, if I don't do what my constituents want, they'll take this power from me. They'll take me out of office. I'll be ashamed and defeated. So my only concern is doing what my constituent wants, but that doesn't even enter into the conversation at this point, because that, you know, at least solution of last recourse of like being voted out, that doesn't even happen anymore. And they know this. And this, again, is the importance for the establishment, for the, you know, apex out there to oust somebody like Thomas Massie, not just to get him out and get him out of the way and replace him with a good little puppet, but as a signal to everybody else in the government, it doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter how well you've done in previous elections. None of that matters. We can and will destroy you with our money, with our influence, or by cheating in the election. But no matter what, we have the power. So you genuinely don't even have to think about what your people want. It never even enters into the conversation. Because in the pro versus con column, as they're, you know, running, okay, if I do this, this happens. If I do this, this happens. If they go along with what the American people want, there's no benefit to them because they get destroyed by the power structure. So I don't know, that's a big problem. And ideally you would have people like Thomas Massie who can stand up against this and explain why they're standing up against it and appeal to their constituents and say, look, they wanted me to do this. Here's why I didn't do it. Sorry if that interrupts Trump's plan, but he's got to reformulate his plan so it doesn't violate these principles that I ran on and you elected me for. There was a guy like that. His name was Thomas Massie, and they ousted him. So you think anybody else is going to stand up in the meantime? No. We're going to have our Republican Party absolutely filled to the brim with people like this, like Marco Rubio. Let's go to clip four here. Here's Marco Rubio talking about new visa rules that will deny people from entering the U.S. if they've said certain things. Let's watch.
Under President Trump, the United States will stand with the Jewish people. We have implemented a vigorous new visa policy that will prevent foreign nationals from coming to the United States to foment hatred against our Jewish community.
Well, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I mean, if he'd said it about any other population, it would be an outrage. It would be a violation of my constitutional philosophy. But it's the Jews, so it doesn't count, I guess. And this is what I mean. Like, we talk about, like, abusing executive authority. I would consider this an abuse of executive authority. Nobody's complaining about it. It's not a lot of outrage. There's not immigration groups filing suit against this. There probably will be eventually. So I'm just trying to point out here, exceeding executive authority has never been an issue. They have no qualms about that. It just has to be for Israel. It just can't benefit Americans, okay? They don't care about saving the government money, okay? If it's wars in the Middle East, infinite money. If it's anything that can help you, absolutely not. This is just the pattern over and over, repeated ad nauseum. And then you've got Mike Huckabee, ambassador to Israel. Clip 23 here. Here's his suggestion for how to, I guess this is how to deal with anti-Semitism. Here's Mike Huckabee's suggestion caught on tape. Let's watch.
Israelis are a tiny part of the population. I sometimes push back on this notion that the Jews are trying to take over the world. And I say, you know, really? You think that? Okay, Israel is a population of just under 10 million people. 8 million of them are Jews. That's half the Jews in the entire world. There are only 16 million Jews in the whole world. Put that in perspective, that's 0.05% of the world's population. Not 0.5, 0.05% of the world's population. So if the Jewish people, representing a tiny, tiny minority, are so good that they are taking over the whole world, the banking system, the entertainment world, the military, science, if they're doing all of that with that few people, maybe we ought to hand over the keys. Now somebody will say, oh, there he goes. He's now voting for the Jews to take over. I say that tongue in cheek.
I gotta say, that is one of the craziest things I've ever heard an American politician say. But you know, you watch these videos, people going around Israel, talking to rabbis and stuff, and they say, so do you believe that in the end times, Jews will be provided slaves? And there's this prophecy, and basically they say that every Jew will have 2,300 non-Jewish slaves. And the people say, yes, that's true, but it's not as bad as it sounds because it's going to be willing. They're going to be willing slaves. And I remember seeing this video probably 10, 15 years ago, just being like, willing slaves? That's a very Talmudic idea. What the hell is that supposed to mean, willing slaves? It's a contradictory. That doesn't make any sense. Until you see Ambassador from the U.S., Mike Huckabee, he is the prototype of the willing slave. Few things about this. For one thing, does anybody believe there's only 16 million Jews? Does anybody actually believe the population numbers of the Jews? You know, there's a religious, law that they're not allowed to actually count their numbers. They're not allowed to. So we don't actually have numbers for the Jewish population. I think it's a hell of a lot more than they say it is, personally. I think it's a hell of a lot more. I don't even know what to say at this point. You literally have an American high-level politician saying, if the Jews are in charge of everything, maybe they should be and we should just hand it over. First of all, can he admit that all the things he listed do have Jews at the top of it? The entertainment, the media, the military-industrial complex, the big tech companies. I mean, can we admit that at the, in the seat of all of these, the very top of all of these industries, do sit a very closely, tight-knit, connected group of Zionist Israeli Jews, American Zionist Jews? Can we admit that? I mean, if we're going to accept subjugation under eternal Jewish rule, can we start off by acknowledging that Jews do in fact have positions of power way, way over and above their, population equivalent? And if that's the case, are we allowed to ask why that might be? Because one way they could achieve that is by being more intelligent and more hardworking and all that stuff. That would be a way that you could get some degree towards the domination that we currently see. Another method of achieving that would be to have not very impressive, not particularly exceptional people, yet they're secretly conspiring to boost and benefit one another. That's also a very effective way of taking over industries. That actually, if you do the experiments, play the games, the werewolf game, things like that, you see that actually a very, very small number of people who are operating in a secretly organized fashion almost always can win over the disorganized majority. Like, this is the thing. I mean, I want to try to break this down and explain it, but at the end of the day, this is the type of thing I feel like I shouldn't have to explain. When you have the ambassador to America saying, essentially in effect, and in a quote, tongue-in-cheek way, but he's literally just saying the Jews should run the world. Ambassador to Israel, ambassador to America. I'm actually not sure anymore. So I get what he's... where he's going with it, because it's sort of a classic argument. of just like, well, if what you say about the Jews is true, maybe they should run the world. If they're so smart that they're controlling everything, then like maybe you should hand it over. That's very like, frankly, it's kind of a Jewish way of thinking. And I genuinely think that's kind of like part of it. It's like, well, the Jews are the powerful ones. The Jews obviously have, you know, incredible influence they wield in everything. So like, if you're going against them, you're kind of dumb. You're kind of dumb, so you kind of don't deserve respect. You going along with the, you know, Jewish superiority control grid sort of proves how smart you are, because you can recognize and join the right side. I honestly don't know how to even like react to this. American politics summed up in one image, exactly. Can we get Mike Huckabee on the show? What do you think the odds are we could get Mike Huckabee on the show? I'm willing to try anything. Can we just get his phone number somehow? Give him a call live? See what happens? Oh, you'll get it from your rabbi? Excellent. Perfect. If the Jews are trying to take over the world, maybe we should just hand over the keys. I'm trying to parse that sentence alone. If the Jews are trying to take over the world, maybe we should just hand over the keys. I'm trying to think, okay, but if they weren't trying to take over the world, we wouldn't hand over the keys. But because they are, we should. Now, I guess the question would be, is it a good thing that Jews run everything? Because now that Mike Huckabee has established that they do in fact run everything and that he thinks that's a good thing, and whatever they don't run, maybe they should be allowed to run. So I'm just gonna chalk that up as him just sort of acknowledging de facto, in a de facto way, that he understands and believes that it's a good thing that the Jews are in charge of everything. And this is one of the, you know, it's like we were talking about all the time, where, you know, Israel will open up, you know, encourage Morocco to send a million Africans into Ceuta and be like, well, I guess God is punishing you for not helping us with our genocide. God works in mysterious ways. And if you don't bless Israel, you'll be cursed. So I guess this is your curse. And it's like, no, this was just you. You just did this. You are not God. But when you really, if you think of every time the Jews say God, you understand they're kind of talking about themselves. Everything kind of makes a lot more sense, right? God will punish you. And then they punish you. Like they did with the ICC. Every member of the ICC now is like, can't have banking cards because America is sanctioning them because they dared to convict Israeli leadership of war crimes. Okay, so if Mike Huckabee acknowledges and says it's a good thing that Jews run the world, can I disagree with that latter part? Can I agree with the first part? And then suggest that perhaps in the time period where this has occurred, everything has gotten significantly worse in every possible way. And if that's the case, can we perhaps draw a correlation and even a causation between the two? That's what I would like to do. We talk about this all the time when it's, you know, when, you know, the first black judge is elected. It's a big celebration. It's a great thing because of his skin color, and it represents something because of his skin color. And then when it turns out that judge is totally corrupt and crime skyrockets and they eventually get arrested for some backroom dealings, can we then not revisit the skin color issue and say, well, hold on, if this was such a good thing previously, if we were supposed to celebrate it and uplift it and he was an example previously, can he serve as an example now? And if previously you were using his skin color to represent, you know, how we should all see the world, can we now use his skin color to represent how we think you should see the world? And it never goes that other way. But this is one of those things. If you can celebrate that the Jews run everything, if you come out and say, hey, maybe they're just that much smarter, can we look at that and say, now that we acknowledge that Jews are at the top of all of these major and important industries, can we recognize how all of those industries seemingly without reason, certainly without profit motive, have chosen to utterly destroy the United States from the inside out? Can we look at a cause and effect situation going on there? And it's not just the Jews that this is about, right? It's the same thing. Like, I saw a post today. I went through. I couldn't find it. It disappeared on my feed. But it's a Indian family doing some sort of weird devil-worshipping ceremony in their front lawn in Dallas, of all places. And it was somebody posting this saying, you know, this is what people don't like about the Dallas-Fort Worth area anymore, is you've got these weird cow-worshipping ceremonies going on suburban streets, and it's ill-fitting. And somebody responded to that saying, actually, you're just angry because these Indian kids are going to outperform the white kids, and you're just mad about that. Do we think that the domination of Indians in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or anywhere else where they gather, do we think that the incredible influence and power that the Somalis have in Minnesota now, is that reflective of their superior characteristics? Or is that because it was a conspiracy to grant them that when they never earned it? In India, is it because they're so much smarter and more talented than us that they're taking over big tech? Or are they simply employing an ethnic superiority paradigm and benefiting their co-ethnics unfairly over and above the more deserving white people? You know, just because Indians are the top of big tech doesn't mean that Indians are geniuses. And I ran the numbers, by the way. I went into Claude. And I searched, yeah, hey, they found the actual video. It's amazing. Just another example of why all the whites are moving out of Frisco, Texas. But then it was the response to that where they're going, actually, because Indians are going to outperform your kids. And it's like, first of all, even if they did, even if all we were bringing over was Indians, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Oh, they can do math better than my kid? I don't care. It's my neighborhood. It's my city. It's my family. It's so bad. But okay, so I ran the numbers. I ran the numbers, okay? The population of India in India is about 8 times the population of white Americans, okay? However, the average IQ in India is right around 75 points, okay? So you average it out. You do it, you know, per 1,000. You do the population. The number of people with an IQ over 130 in India is like 0.02%. So 0.02% of Indians have an IQ over 130. In America, white people, 2.3% of white people have an IQ over 130. So even though there are 8 times more Indians than there are white Americans, there are about 4 times as many American geniuses as there are Indian geniuses. Do you understand that math? That 0.02% of a billion, or however many, is less than 2.3% of the 150 million white Americans. So, again, if populations and who was in control of what and who was in power of what, if it was on the basis of talent and merit and IQ and intelligence, there wouldn't be any Indians in our country, and there wouldn't be any Indians on the top of big tech companies. But that's not what is causing the takeover. Just like with Jews, they may have higher IQs than Indians, but that's not the reason that they run everything. The reason they run everything is people like Mike Huckabee, who have been convinced to be slavering goyish slaves for people who have somehow hypnotized him into surrendering his own country to a bunch of hostile foreign interlopers. And I think that's bad. As an American, I'm against that. And I'm not afraid to say it. We'll be back on the other side with more, because there's a hell of a lot more.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have this system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I am a piece of... There comes a time when we must face the truth. We took the money and we sold the youth. We can't go on pretending this is right. We put another country first every night. We are the ones who sign the bills and smile while our own people struggle all the while. There's a choice we're making and we made it clear. Their interests come first. We take the cash from APAC every day. We put them. take home. We can't pretend that we don't know the score. We sell the wars and then we ask for more.
We read the talking points they send out.
The joke. We place our hands upon that ancient wall, then fly back home and answer every call.
We are a piece of sh-
checks clear, we feel no shame.
When the primary comes, we play the same game.
We know exactly what this is, we just don't care. As long as the next
contribution's there.
Makes the heart sing. Feel free to sing along, folks. If you're also a piece of crap,
protects it. Thank you, APAC. Thank you for the opportunity.
God bless Israel.
Shabbat shalom.
And God bless our retirement accounts.
Oh, bravo, bravo. That was from the Dibster X on X. Cracking up that whole time. It was very good. That was good. But, you know, now, hey, let's acknowledge, you know, that video had people on both sides of the aisle. You have the Clintons and Obama and Trump and George Bush, and obviously they've all played their role. Things are a little different now. All those pieces of crap, they've firmly moved over to the right here. This is from the Dibster. He says, this may offend some people. The truth can't be denied. I couldn't fit every politician bought by this evil country into the video, but most of you already know the number's around 90% of our government. I hope this song and video makes people think about what's actually happening in this country. Christ is king. Amen, Dibster. That's the, so if you're into that, if everything you saw right there was like, yes, this is what I want. Because that, because the crazy thing is, change up the lyrics a little bit, like take out the main part, call it, you know, instead of saying I'm a piece of crap, say I'm a Christian man, you know, just like frame it a little bit differently. And that is legitimately an ad you could see playing on Fox News or something that would convince boomers to vote for Republicans. It was like, yeah, vote for, I will bless Israel. I will do everything for Israel. Like, it's not like this is something unknown. This is like what they actually say, what they actually promote when we've got videos of it. So the real tough part now is that we can choose either between that, whatever that was, what we just saw, those people saying those things, very accurate rendition of what happens on Capitol Hill, or just the most corrupt, insane, racist crap you've ever seen. So this is the false dichotomy we've been forced into. And it doesn't shock me that people are voting for the socialists in this paradigm. Let's go to clip 18 here, because this one truly boggles the mind, from Karen Bass, who's running to, she is the mayor of LA, but she's running as the incumbent in the LA mayor's race Let's go to clip 18 here. Here's Karen Bass talking about a new exciting way to donate to her campaign. Let's watch.
Your donation to our campaign is more critical right now than ever before. Let me explain. Thanks to LA's Supermatch program, every qualified donation from Los Angeles residents is matched 6-1 by the city. But after the primary, we had to start over from scratch. So we need you to rush your matching donation right now to help fuel this campaign. Chip in $5 right now, and the city turns it into $35. Chip in $25 right now, and the city turns it into $175. Make your matching donation today. Thank you so much.
What? What? Is this a thing? So when you donate $5 to the mayor of L.A., the city of L.A. gives her $35? What? I genuinely, like, what are you talking about? So you're using taxpayer money to fund political campaigns for the mayor. Los Angeles' Supermatch program has been in effect since 1990, and the 6-1 ratio took effect in 2019. After the years of advocacy, in 2019, California Common Cause helped strengthen public matching funds program in L.A., and a huge leap forward, the Los Angeles City Council voted to move to a Supermatch public financing program. The most significant improvement to the program is an increase of the match rate up from as low as 1-1 to a 6-1 match for participating candidates in both the primary and general elections. City Council candidates are now required to meet a lower aggregate qualifying threshold of $11,400, down from $25,000, in order to become eligible to receive matching funds. I do not understand why this would be a thing. Why is this a thing? But then again, it's a lot of stuff like that. Why is this a thing? It just seems, it just blows. You just learn about stuff where it's like, okay, since the 90s, this has been going on, and the taxpayers of LA are now giving six times as, okay, all right, I guess. Why not, right? Well, for a bunch of reasons. Sounds like it's pretty easily corruptible. Sounds like you could very easily be scamming a ton of money that way, but okay. Just nuts, just absolutely nuts. But this is the way things are going. Let's go now to clip number two here. This is Boston Mayor Michelle Wu saying she's filing FOIA request to find out which property owners leased parking spaces to ICE. So just a reminder. Because Trump is a feckless coward, unwilling to do even the most basic things to keep Democrats out of power or benefit the American people, because he treats everything that's happening in America as just a sideshow to his real goal of serving Israel with his every breath, because the absurd reaction to ICE was allowed to continue unabated, unaddressed for months on end. People just throughout government, like being in Discord groups and Telegram and Signal groups with literal domestic terrorists providing information for them to attack ICE, because none of this was treated like the domestic terrorism it is, despite the fact that he declared Antifa domestic terrorists. No follow up on that. Absolutely nothing done to solve any of these problems, because that's the case. Everything he has done, while ineffective and moderate, is going to be treated like an attempt to institute fascism by the people in power. And as soon as Trump is out of power, everyone who ever helped him or contributed to him or tried to participate in any way in his programs is going to be destroyed. Is going to be like, if you think that the Democrats are going to get back in power and have a forgive and forget mentality, you have no idea what you're talking about. And we could be sitting here 2 years from now, a little more, 2.5 years from now, sitting in this chair, reporting on the fact that, like, everyone who worked for ICE is being arrested by U.S. Marshals. And every business owner that had a contract with ICE is being investigated by the IRS and forcibly shut down. Like, again, emblematic, symbolic of what's actually happening with Trump right now, which is that because he's not going far enough, because he's not doing what actually needs to be done, everything that he's doing is not only not going to fix the problem, you're just being set up for total destruction. So let's go to Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, clip number two, and what she's been doing to lay the groundwork for political persecution as soon as Trump's out of office. Maybe even before, because obviously Trump's not going to actually do anything to stop this sort of stuff. So let's watch.
Let's talk about ICE. They have been trying to lease nearly 250 parking spaces in the city of Boston. You've gone on record strongly opposing any expansion of their offices. It's really unclear if they're expanding right now. Have you heard any more about their efforts to expand, if they exist?
We haven't had direct communication from them, but this is not a surprise, because even when we've asked for specific information, it's been difficult or impossible to get it. As I understand, this was part of an open process to start laying the groundwork for potential procurement or you know, what's called an RFP to actually get parking spots. So it seems like this is an early precursor step. We, as a city, will be filing another FOIA request for any responses that have come in from the Boston area so that we know what information they may be sifting through. We strongly oppose any expansion of their efforts here and would encourage and will be reaching out to property owners to try to make sure that they're not adding to a surge of unlawful and dangerous activity.
Unlawful and dangerous activity. That is the federal government sending agents to arrest illegal immigrants. That's what she's calling illegal activity. But this is where we're headed, folks. Like, I really can't make it more plain. And at this point, I mean, honestly, we should just be arming ourselves. Like, at this point, I really think that politics might just be a total waste of time. I know people have been saying that for a while, but there's always a glimmer of, I mean, if Trump had done what he said he was going to do, if Trump had actually hit the ground running and acted like some of these Democrats act, we had an opportunity. We had an option. We had an ability to correct things. We had the energy. We had the domination of the government policy. We just didn't do it. So it's not like this has always been true. This has become true over the last 6 months or so since the Iran war started. It has become increasingly clear that there is no path forward electorally for success, for us to actually have anybody willing to do anything for America, because the only group of people that would be able to do something have instead decided to become totally subjugated by Israel. I feel bad. Like, I don't want to say the same thing over and over, but it's just like this. It's just, this is the problem. I could do one show and just play it every day because it's just the same thing over and over again. The Democrats are radical and rabid and, you know, made into extremists and radicalized by the mainstream media's relentless lies that go really uncontested by any, you know, mainstream conservative media, because that's Fox News. And they, like the Republican Party, seem solely dedicated and interested to progressing the agenda of the Israelis and the Jewish supremacists that run everything. So, I don't know. I think that's kind of it. Because, you know, people have an idea that we can join with the left. And I've always said, like, it would be great if we could. I would be open to it if the left could manage to tamp down on just literally any of its excesses, you know. I saw a meme yesterday. It was the, it's that cartoon of the dog sitting and the house is on fire. And he's just like, everything's fine. But it's a woman sitting at the table. The house is on fire. And she's like, but abortion, though. But all I care about is abortion. It's like everything is being destroyed. Can we just tamp that down for like a single election cycle. For one election cycle, can you maybe put the killing your babies a little bit lower on the priority list? Just a little bit. You're still doing it. You're still doing it all over the place. It's just like, now you're doing it outside the womb. Now you're doing it late stage abortions, on demand, living viable babies being ripped piece by piece out of a womb. Can we drop it? Can we drop it now? Like, is that the most important thing, really, in all of this? That's the most important thing? That's the only thing you care about? So, I never thought that the left could actually be reasoned with. It's a fantasy, right? It's a can-you-imagine type of scenario. Can you imagine a world where the left is believe literally any of the crap that they say? If they actually, like, cared about minority populations that are actually minorities, that actually cared about equality or whatever else that they spout about, yet the moment that the equality flips, the majority flips, suddenly it goes from, you know, you have to do this because they're the minority and we have minority rights, to, well, the majority wants this, so I guess this is what it has to be. So if the left was just, if they were just not interminable hypocrites, if they weren't just demons in human form, then this would be a great opportunity right now to come together and say, look, you drop the trans thing, we'll drop the Iran thing. You drop the wanting everybody in the world to become American, and you know, maybe we can ease up on whatever. Like, we can make deals. I believe it could happen if the sky was red and things fell up, because the fundamental nature of the Democrat is seething hatred and evil. So there is no combining with these people. We are now approaching the year anniversary of the tragic and horrifying murder of Charlie Kirk. And the left has spent the last year mocking and celebrating that act. Not only not being punished for their celebrations, not only getting away with the fact that they're on TikTok with their names mocking this brutal murder, but now drag queens are putting on whole shows dedicated strictly to mocking the murder of Charlie Kirk. So let's watch.
We are Charlie Kirk!
And there's like a lot of these videos. This is her mocking Erica Kirk wearing Trump hats. I don't know if it's on this one. I don't know if it's on this one or not. This is a drag queen show just dedicated to like mocking MAGA and Trump and all that, which, okay, fine. You want to mock Trump? Who cares? I'm not sure if this video has it in it or the other one does. There, she's obviously mocking Candace. Oh yeah, there it is. There it is. Charlie, there he is. The guy playing, acting like Charlie Kirk, dancing with the blood spewing out of his neck. So I just, you know, there's no alliance with these people. It's just not happening. In fact, the only option now is to crush them with the state, but our state won't do that. You know what? I would bet money. If the crew's not doing anything else, this is a challenge. And maybe AI can do this. Find out where this video's from. Find out what the event is from. I'm wondering if this was sponsored by the government, because I bet it was. I bet in some way there was some LGBT advocacy group that gets funds from NGOs that get taxpayer dollars. Just a guess, but that's essentially where we're at. And you can even point to like the most respectable, the most upstanding, the most reasonable, as I can tell, leftist, somebody like Ro Khanna, somebody that was willing to shake hands with Thomas Massie and work together with him on things like the Epstein files and trying to stop the war to Israel. And yet, even people like this, they can't help it. It actually does kind of seem to be in their, like, I get kind of what the rabbis are saying now. I think it's in their DNA, a seething hatred of white people and a compulsion to blood libel us, even when they know full well that they're lying about what they're saying. So this is Ro Khanna commenting on a like weirdly common event in the last year or so, there's been like four or five examples of black people either hanging themselves or being hung up in a tree by other black people. And every time, these are treated as if the KKK is back and they're lynching black people. Every single time, it's reported as like, black woman found hanging near tree, you know, whatever, racism on the right. As if this has happened in 100 years. But here's Ro Khanna, happy to spread this blood libel lie about white people, because I guess it benefits him in some way. Total rejection of truth, total rejection of just obvious reality, because it lets him smear white people, because that's the only thing that combines the left. Here's Ro Khanna.
18-year-old Nolan Wells went on a July 4th boating trip with his so-called friends in Mississippi. He was later found dead.
Yeah, he drowned by himself, dumbass.
Nolan's family is demanding answers.
They got answers
about what happened to him.
He drowned in the water.
Nolan's family, unfortunately, is not alone. Across the country, black families are sounding the alarm about the unexplained deaths of their loved ones.
Not unexplained. He drowned in the water.
A disturbing number of black Americans found hanging from trees.
All of them committing suicide or being killed by other black people.
At the heart of the black freedom struggle. Civil rights organizations are now investigating modern-day lynchings.
Oh, really? Have they found anything?
Concerns about whether the deaths have been adequately investigated.
Yes, they have.
Black bodies hanging from trees.
Black bodies hanging from trees have a specific and brutal meaning in American history.
In a North Carolina churchyard,
more white people were lynched than black people, dumbass.
Was found hanging from a tree.
It was collective punishment. All right, we can take it down. This is what I mean. What's motivating him? It's not the truth. I don't believe for a single second he genuinely believes that Nolan Wells was killed by a bunch of frat boys who, what, held him underwater, drowned him while on the party barge. This is literally blood libel. That's all this is. This is literally black people killing each other and then some brown Muslim guy blaming white people for it. Black people killing themselves and it being used by hostile foreign interlopers to blame white people in America. To increase the hatred, to increase the discrimination, to increase the suspicion of white people who are the nicest people. But this is the type of, how do you justify that morally? You can't. Meaning he's immoral. Meaning he's a scumbag. He's an evil, dirtbag, jackass who should not be in our government. To go up and to spread blatant blood libels about black bodies hanging from trees when he knows full well none of those were racist attacks, not a single one has any proof that any white people had anything to do with it. Doesn't matter. It's a chance for him to smear his enemy.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to
be like that?
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Okay, I'm a teacher, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen that video of the LeBrant family going around talking about their homeschool and how they do it. They mention things like, we only teach them history once a week, we only teach them things that we want them to learn, we use ChatGPT for our curriculum, things like that. Yeah, I have some thoughts, because what? One, you are doing your kids such a disservice teaching them only things you want them to know. You are not allowing your child to have critical thinking skills, form their own opinions, become their own person. You are literally creating mini versions of yourself. But with that family, that's not surprising. And I guarantee what they're teaching history-wise, they're omitting so much history, so much important history. And I do fear they might be the reason history repeats itself. You know, we teach history. So in hopes it doesn't happen again, because you learn about all these bad things that happened. They're not teaching the bad things.
Oh, really? So you think it's homeschool that indoctrinates and not public school? Let's talk about it. Do you know what happened to the Thanksgiving Indians? The Indians who sat with the Pilgrims. They were taken out by the Mohawk. They went to the Mohawk for help, and instead they were given horror. And I know you weren't taught that in school, but that's what the Iroquois did. Do you know what the Huron, the Neutral Confederacy, the Erie, and the Susquehannock have in common? They were genocided by the Iroquois. And then there were the mourning wars. When a member of the Iroquois would pass away, they would mourn by invading other villages. All of the women had their lives taken. The children would be taken, and three really unlucky men would be kept alive. And they would endure a ritualistic torture that I wouldn't even dare to try to describe on here. Did you know that it was European Christian men who were responsible for the end of slavery? The British Empire started a global campaign to eradicate the practice all throughout the world, because the Ottoman Empire enslaved 5 to 10 million people. The Trans-Saharan slave trade enslaved 9 to 17 million people. The trans-Indian slave trade enslaved 4 to 10 million people. And of the 12.5 million people who took part in the transatlantic slave trade, do you know how many were brought to what is the United States today? 388,000 people. Thousand. So let me ask you, does the average public school graduate know any of that? So you tell me, who's being indoctrinated because a classically educated student has studied Mesopotamia, Greece, Rome, the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, and America by the time they get to fifth grade? But in American public schools, they start studying Native Americans in third grade, state history in fourth grade, and America in fifth grade. And at a very young and impressionable age, absent historical context, children are taught that the Native Americans and the slaves were oppressed by the evil European. Because you might not realize it, but the American education system became the American indoctrination system back in the 50s or 60s when the Marxists started to infiltrate our institutions. So with homeschool kids, they learn about the bad things that happened to the Native Americans and the terrible things that went along with slavery. Of course they do. That's important. And they learn by reading the perspectives of people on all sides of historical debates. But in public schools, they strip away all historical context and they teach history as if it's these guys good, these guys bad. So you tell me who's being taught to think critically. You tell me who's being indoctrinated. Because I hate to say it to you, lady, but you're the one doing the indoctrination. And our kids deserve so much better than that. Check out my private homeschool community. Our fall semester of live classes, I'll be teaching critical thinking and discernment through a study of ancient history for elementary school, and financial literacy for high school. And Cubs to Bears. Folks, classical learner,
BlackRock.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. We'll get to as many as possible this hour. You can call about any of the topics we've covered or not, like anything else that you want to talk about. Give us a call, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. Just continuing here for a moment with the racial stuff. There's a, it's worse than we even thought, folks. There's a new project. It's called the White Box Project, White Box Project on X. They hand reviewed over 10,000 police booking records from Florida's five largest counties with readily available booking information. What we found was harrowing. In the sample we analyzed, nearly 40% of records marked white were actually criminals who were black, brown, Muslim, Hispanic, or Asian. Every case published on the site can be examined individually alongside the original public record and our classification. Remember, this is Florida, the same state where tonight voters will hawkishly watch the results of the Republican primary for governor because the election in November is a foregone conclusion. Imagine the error rate for blue states. I hope you'll look through this website and see the ugliness we've seen while making it, a prime example of the collapse of the American justice system and its ability to bring justice to you, Americans. So already, if you look at the stats, they're pretty astonishing. And here's the actual website where you can see all of these clearly not white people yet categorized as white. Do white people just not commit crime? Is that what's happening? Because already, you know, if you were to sort of normalize crime statistics, basically, white America has a crime rate similar to like Switzerland, Sweden, very, very low gun crime, especially. And people go, well, America has this crazy gun problem. However many hundreds of thousands of people are killed every year with guns? And it's like, well, if you divide it by race, it's actually a hell of a lot different than that. So 10,000 records viewed, 5,000 marked up white, 1,700 confirmed errors. So 2,190 confirmed plus likely errors. So 38% potential error rate. So 40% more or less of the records marked white were actually criminals who were not white. So these are the stats that get fed into the FBI crime statistics that we use to actually determine what's going on in our country. This is one of those instances where you look at this and you go, there's only two explanations. Either this is an accident or it's on purpose. And it being an accident doesn't make any sense. Because if it was an accident, you would expect that you would have the same number of people marked black erroneously as you would white. But that doesn't exist. That doesn't happen. If it was just a mistake, then you would think that it would be a mistake for everyone, right? That, well, people just accidentally clicked the wrong thing. They meant to click black, but they clicked white by accident. That would be the only way to claim that this wasn't a part of some sort of nefarious plot. But that doesn't make any sense, because if that was the case, you would have black guys labeled Hispanic, you'd have white guys labeled black. You don't have any of that. You have white guys labeled white, and you have non-white people also labeled white. Meaning that the non-white crime rate should be 40% higher than it is, and the white person crime rate should be 40% lower, is 40% lower. And so when you realize that it can't possibly be an accident, then the only option you're left with is that it's on purpose, and that this is the way conspiracy sort of work now. This is another aspect of just like the conspiracy overall thing. When you think about something like false flags, this is another video we should really just have on hand, because I feel like I talk about it all the time. But in 2016, during Trump's election, there was a gay choir director who sprayed a swastika and the F slur on his church. And when he was caught, and they found on camera, okay, this was you, well, he wasn't a Trump supporter. It was a gay guy who drew a swastika and wrote the F slur. And so when they interviewed him, he said, I was doing a false flag. He said, yeah, I wanted to do a false flag because I wanted people to realize what danger we're in and what Trump represents. Now, there's a lot of things you can read into that, but what I understood is, okay, false flags have now gone decentralized, that you don't actually need to conspire with anybody. Because what that guy knew, he probably knew he wouldn't get away with it, but it didn't matter. Because what he knew was that if he provided the story, the journalist would seize on it and promote it without ever doing research, because it confirmed what they expected to happen. So he knew he didn't have to call the local media and say, hey, I'm doing this false flag, but don't look too closely into it. Just report it as is. He didn't have to do that. He just knew they would do that anyway. If we can pull that video in, if it's the one, because the guy literally said, now this is 2024. It was 2020. It was 2016 when this happened. And I want the interview with the guy in particular, because he says, I did a false flag. And so you kind of have to realize like where we're at in this country, that to pull off this deception, they didn't need to go to the prisons and have a meeting in a back room and say, listen, here's what we're doing. We want you to look, to make it look like the white crime rate is increasing. It's just people in these industries who just know what's happening in the world around them, and they know that non-white people are getting blamed for crime, and they know that in their little position, they can make these little adjustments, and it can look like a mistake, and they can be, you know, cleared up. What's the big deal? I mislabeled the guy. My bad. I'm sorry. Right? Not that big of a threat in the you know, cost and return columns. It's like, worst comes to worst, hey, I mislabeled a race. Not that big of a deal. I'm not going to go to jail for it. Won't even get fired. Might not even get a talking to. They'll probably just fix it, and I'll never even hear about it. But the benefit is that you do it enough that everybody who comes in, you label white, you're doing your part contributing to the wholesale uselessness of the statistic interpretation of the crime rate. So I think we all need to understand that's where we're at, right? Same thing with DEI or any of this stuff. It doesn't even need to come down from on high. It doesn't need to be organized. It doesn't need to be orchestrated. They just all sort of know. They just sort of know, here's how we do this. Nathan Strang was the first to arrive at St. David's Episcopal Church in Bean Blossom, Indiana, after somebody had spray-painted a black swastika and the words Hail Trump and Fag Church on its walls. It was November 13th, 2016, the first Sunday after the election, and news of the hate crime spread like wildfire. It appeared on CNN. Stephen Colbert showed a picture of the defaced church. They left the graffiti up for more than 2 weeks, partly in defiance of those who would intimidate it, and also to, quote, start a conversation. 6 months later, everyone was astonished to learn that Strang himself, the church's organist and choir director, had committed the crime. Why, I'm shocked. Shocked, I say. Yeah, and he's on video saying I wanted to commit a false flag. So I think it's what we're dealing with here with the non-white criminals being labeled white. I think this is a decentralized conspiracy, essentially, against white people, because all the white non-white people know, just like whatever you can do, whatever little bit you can do to screw over and lie about white people to make them look bad, to facilitate your takeover, you're a good person for doing that. I don't have too much to say about this next thing. I do want to read a very interesting, in fact, I'll do that now just so I can get out to your calls. I'm going to read what I think is a very important passage. And this is from a user on X named Christoph_Poland. It says, what the West still doesn't get, communism's true core, the systemic lie. He says, most people in the West think they understand communism. They picture breadlines, gulags, failed five-year plans, and the collapse of the Soviet Union. They treat it as a discredited economic theory, an experiment that proved that abolishing private property doesn't work. Case closed. History moved on. This misunderstanding may be the most dangerous intellectual failure of our time. Communism was never primarily an economic system. Economics was the surface. Beneath it lay something far more insidious, a total systemic institutionalized commitment to lying. Not occasional dishonesty, not spin or propaganda in the ordinary sense, something deeper, a civilizational war against truth itself, waged through every institution, every classroom, every newspaper, every conversation until reality itself became negotiable and the lie became the air people breathed. The words were missing. The Polish language, forged by decades of living under this system, produced words for this phenomenon that English simply cannot match. Zakłamanie is a tate of total, pervasive, socially embedded falsehood, a condition in which the entire society is saturated with lies so thoroughly that truth becomes almost inaccessible. Then you've got obłuda, a deep performative hypocrisy, the gap between what is proclaimed and what is actually practiced, the mask worn so long it begins to feel like a face. These are not words for individual liars. They describe a system, a mode of societal organization built on organized mendacity, where the lie is not the exception but the foundation. English has no single word for either concept, and that linguistic gap is not a coincidence. It reflects a gap in experience. Cultures that did not live under communism lack the vocabulary because they lack the wound. And because they lack the vocabulary, they struggle to recognize the thing when it reappears in new clothing. The continuity, communism, leftism, wokeism. What we call wokeism today, or the broader radical left, is not a new phenomenon. It's the same operating system running on updated software. The specifics have changed. Instead of the proletariat, we have marginalized identity groups. Instead of bourgeois class enemies, we have racist and transphobes. Instead of socialist realism, we have DEI statements, but the deep structure is the same. That deep structure is this. Truth is not discovered, it is assigned. Reality is not something to be understood honestly, but something to be narrated strategically. Language is not a tool for communication, but a weapon of power. And anyone who resists the approved narrative is not simply wrong, they're dangerous and must be silenced, shamed, or destroyed. This is Zakłamanie in its modern form. This is obwala, or whatever you say it, wearing a human rights badge. The same movement that insists men can become women will insist with equal fervor that questioning this is an act of violence. The same institutions that claim to champion free inquiry systematically suppress dissent. The same people who invoke tolerance as their highest value are among the most intolerant forces in public life. The contradiction is not accidental, it's structural. It's the system working as designed. Why the West still doesn't get it. People who grew up in freedom tend to assume at some level that bad actors know they're lying, that somewhere behind the ideological performance there is a cynical operator who privately acknowledges reality. This assumption is wrong, and it's why Westerners consistently underestimate what they're dealing with. The totalitarian lie in its mature stage is not cynical, it is believed. Or rather, it creates a condition in which the distinction between belief and performance collapses entirely. People learn to say things they do not believe so fluently and for so long, they lose access to what they really think. And that is very reminiscent of like 1984, right? It's not even enough that you say 2 + 2 = 5. You have to genuinely believe it. And when you look around at the world today, the empire of insanity that we're operating in, you see this exact type of system being created. And it's funny because I was just watching a documentary about chess champion Bobby Fischer. And it was about his chess. It was mostly about his chess. And it was interesting because if you watch or learn about what was happening at the time, it was this, you know, chess was this major Cold War battlefield where the USSR couldn't really win Olympic gold. They couldn't really compete in many things, but they had chess and they dominated chess. And then this Bobby Fischer guy rises up out of the cauldron of American exceptionalism and challenges them and starts defeating them. And then the tricks they pull to try to, you know, screw him over, you can see it. And it's, we kind of forget because it really has become almost like cartoonish. You like see the communists, the USSR is like the villains in Bond movies in the 80s and they're super mendacious and underhanded. But like, no, that was the reality. No, they literally like they were a empire of lies. Everything they did was underhanded and double crossing. And it really comes across when you watch that. Of course, Bobby Fischer knew how to deal with them. And it may have been, you know, that may have planted the first seed of the deception he came to despise. Maybe I'll read more. This guy's a good writer again. That was Christoph underscore Poland on X. And he's written a couple of sort of essays like this that I think, he's talking about me. Like, I am the one. I genuinely have trouble imagining what it's like being these people. Like, I can do it. And this is why I always say, like, empathy, when you, like, empathize with somebody fully, when you empathize with somebody like Ro Khanna, I'm not empathizing with somebody who's like, oh, he's just, you know, I'm imagining myself as somebody who's just, like, really concerned about black people, and he thinks that white... No. That's not who you're... No. You have to empathize with somebody who just knows in their bones is just like, I'm going to take this lie, I'm going to promote it, it's going to be beneficial for me. It's a lie, it's obviously a lie. But also, he doesn't really see it like that himself. It's like a beneficial lie. It's like Santa Claus, right? It's like, you're not really lying to your children. You know, it's just sort of something that facilitates a good thing. So how can it be a bad thing? That's the mindset that we're dealing with. And I frankly don't, I'm not interested in understanding it. I'm interested in destroying it, eradicating it, depriving it of power, humiliating it. I don't need to understand it. I don't need to get into their mindset. I want it eradicated from my world with violence, because I think that's what's necessary. Let's go out to your calls now. We've got Ian in Houston. Got in first. Thank you for calling in, Ian. You're on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Harrison. Just wanted to call. Kind of goes along with what you're talking about. You know, the left got their guy in as the mayor of New York City, but we couldn't get our guy in as the mayor of L.A. You know, Spencer Pratt basically got cheated.
Yep.
In L.A., you know, and if you look at any graph, you can see at the last moment they have the second Democratic, you know, candidate barely beating him by a small narrow. I mean, it's just typical.
It was totally stolen. Yeah, we reported on it at the time. That was egregious.
Yeah, and what happened to Fishback in Florida, I mean, it's I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, if we decide that we're going to try to work within the system and, you know, try to get people that we support elected to enact actual change. I mean, what is it going to take to do that? What is it going to take to get our people elected? How are we going to get, you know, somebody elected somewhere like LA that's going to be in our best interest? I mean,
well, what do you think? Because I'm of two minds of this, because I'm not interested in tag teaming with the left, as we've just explained and shown, like they're horrible people that don't have souls, so I don't want anything to do with them. On the other hand, clearly a takeover of the Republican Party is not going to happen. I mean, if anybody could have done it, it could have been Trump. But clearly the systems are in place with the Republican Party. They choose their man. They get him to victory. They've got all the money, all the connections to do it. And they're not held to account by the voters. I mean, to me, if you refuse to debate, you shouldn't be allowed to run. And Byron Donalds refused to debate, and Thomas Massie's opponent refused to debate. Now, to me, the voter should look at that and go, I don't want a coward who can't defend himself to represent me. Why would I vote for somebody who can't even stand on a stage with his opponent and prove that he's the better man with the better ideas? It should be disqualifying, but it's not, because the control system is there. So what do we do about this? I mean, maybe that needs to be the big takeaway from Fishback and Casey Putsch and all this, is just like, the Republican Party is not going to let it happen. It's been taken over by Israel. They have their guys that they want in, and it's an impossible barrier to get over because of the institutional control they wield. So what do you think about that? Is a third party actually the more viable solution now? Ian, do you think that's true?
I mean, I'm not really sure. A third party, you know, I mean, it's like George Carlin says, it's one big club and we're not in it. I mean, if you're not in the club, I mean, even if you have a third party, I mean, how many votes will they allow us to get, basically, right? Like, that's the thing. I mean, if the entire system's under control, I mean, it's no better than communism. I mean, it is essentially communism.
I guess my rebuttal to that would be, right now, if you say you're not voting for Republicans, what's the comeback? It's, okay, so you're a Democrat. When you only have two options, you either vote for Republicans or you're a leftist, right? But if there was a viable third party, you could say, I'm not voting for the stupid Republicans. Look at what they've done. And people go, oh, you want Democrats? You can go, no, I want this other party. I want this third party. I want somebody that actually represents me. So it's not that I'm just giving, you know, everything over to the Republicans or over to the Democrats. There's something else I can support. I mean, I think the dichotomy now is our greatest enemy, the left and right falsehood. What do you think, Ian?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely is. But at the same time, once you introduce a third party, it turns into the Spencer Pratt situation where you're just trying to take votes away from a certain candidate. You're never, you know, in Germany, they have similar situations where, you know, they have these alternative parties and they can never get enough votes to actually do anything. It's all just talk. And,
well, their parliamentary system provides, you know, for the ruling party to, you know, they can make coalitions and keep people out. I don't want that. But, you know, my other idea for promoting a third party is that the Democrats are also being split right now. There's also a lot of people that don't like the Democrat establishment, but maybe they're not socialist, or maybe they don't like the Democrats or the socialists and just want somebody. I mean, isn't this an opportunity now where a third party could sort of draw equally from both sides of the aisle, or no?
For sure, 100%. We have a huge opportunity to unite people on the America First platform. If you look at the left and look at the right, there's a huge amount of people that are anti-Israel rule, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you can see it comes from both sides. And so we have to somehow unite people on fixing the country as much as we can. And it's like, it just doesn't seem to be like we're able to break through and get into positions that we need to be in to actually fix stuff. I mean, you know, I'm almost 40, and, you know, essentially the baby boomer generation is still in charge. I mean, they're pushing 75, 80 years old. I mean, at what point are they going to retire and flip around to our generation being in charge, which would ideally we would start working on fixing these things in the right way.
No, exactly. It's never going to happen. And we've explained this before, this is what's happening, is the later generations, Gen X, millennials, even Zoomers at this point, are adults. We're sitting here like, okay, when's our inheritance going to get? When are you going to pass on power? When are you going to retire and pass on the torch to the next generation? They're not going to. They're holding on to the torch with everything they've got. Now, we're not about to go up to our parents and grandparents and rip the torch out of their hands and give me that, old man. This is mine. You know who is going to do that? The foreigners, the Muslims, the Indians, the Jews. They're happy to go up to the boomer generation and just rip it out of their hands. We're not inheriting the boomers' property. It's being sold to foreigners who have fake money. So,
my fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room is on. We'll go directly out to your calls. You know, there's a lot of other stuff going on that we can talk about. Just it, long story short, the two fronts that we are running on World War III are both being used to gin up war against Europe, basically. Over the last few days, Ukraine has bombed a Greek tanker. Now, if anything worked as it should, this should be considered an act of aggression against a NATO member by a non-NATO member. Could very well activate Article 5, but obviously nothing about the international rules-based order was ever legitimate in even the slightest way, so don't worry about that. Meanwhile, Ukraine is sending wave after wave of drones into civilian areas of Moscow, blowing people up in a pretty transparent attempt to incite Russia into doing something so egregious that you can justify bringing, like, Britain and Germany directly into the war. And I just want to ask, like, we're so lucky that we are not subjected to this for now. You know, it's not inevitable. And it's not permanent that just America can wage war overseas forever and never suffer the consequences from it. Moscow is a modern European city. And yet it is being bombed by swarms of drones. So what is the response to that? The only response would be to send drones right back and start bombing the civilians of Kiev. And you can just see very easily how we're very rapidly entering into a world where just like major American and European cities are just like being bombed by drone swarms. And there's no actual battle lines drawn. It's just like an endless round of terror attacks, essentially only by state actors and with extremely advanced weaponry. And this is a war that was over before it even began and never had to happen and was started by Ukraine and NATO and America forcing this situation. And it genuinely looks like they're doing everything they possibly can to piss off Russia to the degree they drop a nuke or something on Ukraine so they can justify drafting every adult male in Germany to go die on the front lines again. Just like you have this, Iran's hardline mullahs are considering attacks on European military targets if Trump escalates the war. Iran is weighing attacking U.S. military targets in Europe should Donald Trump escalate the war, according to a report to Islamic Republic insiders told Financial Times that Iranian forces have assessed striking American assets in southeastern European countries such as Bulgaria, which last month approved the use of Bessemer Air Base for U.S. refueling aircraft. Cyprus, where a British airbase was hit by a drone in March, was also among potential targets for retaliation, one of the insiders added. The regime has also been considering attacking subsea fiber optic cables in the Strait of Hormuz in the event of escalation. The threat showcases the defiant mood of Tehran, where hardline mullahs increasingly view the resumption of war as a matter of inevitability. Negotiations to reopen the vital strait have come to a halt while Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Mujtaba Khomeini last week installed a string of veteran military and security hardliners in some of the country's most important positions, powerful positions. So, I mean, they're talking, and this is the thing. If you were Iran, wouldn't you want to start targeting the American mainland? Wouldn't you want to impose some cost on the American people? Wouldn't that be a valid method by which you could try to end the hostilities? Because essentially our failure to destroy Iran has basically proven to them that we can't destroy them. So it's like now, why wouldn't they start shooting missiles at our bases anywhere within range? Why wouldn't they try to attack on the American homeland? Because for a while, it's kind of like, well, they probably know that the war is unpopular and they don't want to like give Trump an excuse to like get all of the American people behind him. So it wouldn't be strategically smart for them to attack the American people. But at a certain point, I feel like they're going to do that. And I feel like we're being set up for that. Meanwhile, the U.S. sanctions International Criminal Court president and prosecutor. So she can't have bank accounts anymore because she dared to rule on against Israel. So we can't have that. Absolutely can't have that. Russia is getting ready to hit Ukraine again hard. Preparations for another big missile attack are reportedly complete. It could happen tonight or tomorrow. At least 8 Russian bombers are said to be carrying KH-101 cruise missiles. At least three dozen missiles could be fired from the ground, including Iskander M or KN-23 ballistic missiles. Zircon hypersonic missiles could be used too. Still unconfirmed, but Kiev is rationing interceptor missiles, Patriot interceptor missiles, because we've used all of them. Meanwhile, Israel just attacked Turkish military assets on the border of Syria. Israel defends strikes on Syria as U.S. frustration with BB grows. Israel told the Trump administration its recent attacks on a Syrian airbase was aimed at preventing a Turkish military buildup in the region. This unusual strike has exacerbated tensions in the region between those three close U.S. partners, just as the Trump administration is trying to prevent further escalation. But hey, it hasn't stopped Israel before, okay? Ben-Gavir is showing off his new execution facility. And Palestinian Americans are traveling to the West Bank in a desperate and futile attempt to save his ancestral home from usurpation by a bunch of Eastern European radical Jews. So good luck with that, sir. But didn't you hear Mike Huckabee? Maybe they should just be in charge. I mean, they're not that many people. And if they can get into your house and start a fire, maybe they deserve the land, you know? You know, if they can conspire with the IDF to shoot you for fighting back and then steal your house right out from underneath you, yeah, maybe they deserve it. You know, that's Mike Huckabee's theory. Maybe that's just proof of their superiority over you. That shows how smart they are. When they have the IDF tank on the ridge pointing its cannon at you, and then a greasy Eastern European teenager comes up with a gun and points it in your face and tells you to get out of the house, you know, maybe he deserves it, and maybe you should thank him, okay? Because clearly, I mean, there's not that many of them. For them to be able to do that, it's pretty impressive. Maybe they should be in charge. You know, Huckabee used the term, maybe we should give them the keys, okay? Okay, so maybe you should give him the keys of your home, because they deserve it, all right? Ben-Gvir unveils an execution facility with public viewing and describes with pride, I propose to legislate a death penalty law for terrorists. It's being done. I propose to establish a facility. It's being executed. There will be viewing there. The victims of the crime will come, like the United States, to watch that murderer being put to death. With God's help, this is taking shape. Maybe it's just me, but every time this guy opens his mouth, it's always about something horrific and murderous. Yeah, dude. No, that's literally, I mean, Ben-Gvir is a literal terrorist. You know, they're, Prime Minister got assassinated in the 90s, and Ben-Gvir is on video holding the, and before the assassination happens, he's holding the guy's hood ornament, and he's like, if we can get to his car, we can get to him. We're going to kill him. And then he gets killed by a radical Jewish extremist aligned with Ben-Gvir. You can go watch my Off Limits News episode. Every leader of Israel is a murderer. Every leader of Israel for its entire history has come straight out of their targeted killing program. A program that was run without state approval for decades. Meaning that everyone who has ever ruled Israel got that position by being an assassin in a mafia. They are a bunch of radical extremist religious murderers. All of them. So, are you surprised? Yeah, and Ben-Gvir is like, we should have a quota where we're killing 30 to 40 Palestinians a day. Yeah, I just, you know, that's just what it is. But we have to serve them endlessly and without question. All right, let's go out to your phone calls. I do want to tell you really quickly about a fantastic new gun mount magnet that we have. It's called the Ready Mount Gun Magnet. It uses a powerful N52 rare earth magnet that's rated to hold up to 10 pounds. It's got padded protected surface to keep from scratching up your firearm. It's a low profile compact magnet, and you can set it for right or left hand access. And it comes with both the 3M adhesive mounting plate and the screw mounting kit. The gun magnet mounts normally retail for $29.99. Right now, we've got it as low as $19.99. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now to get the Ready Mount Gun Magnet for as low as $19.99, even lower or easier to purchase if you're a VIP member. And it really is a cool and useful gadget to keep your gun at the ready when and where you need it. After all, a gun that's not accessible is not really all that better than no gun at all. So go now, get your magnetic holster at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, check out the supplements, the hats, the t-shirts, the incredible products that help us stay on the air and in the fight, searching, seeking out desperately for some solution to this that doesn't involve the words kill them all. Let's go out to your calls now. Mary in Florida, thanks for calling in, Mary. You're on the air. What do you want to talk about, Mary? I want to ask you about what's going on in Florida. Are you surprised by the outcome of the Florida election, Mary?
You're the best, Harrison. You're the best.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm not happy today. So I moved here from New York,
we moved here from New York, and we were really excited about being here because it's the free state of Florida. And now I just want to congratulate Israel because they seem to have won the Florida elections, the primaries at least.
Yeah.
We voted yesterday, but, you know, I just knew what was going on and how it wasn't going to happen for Fishback. And $111 million, I heard, for Byron, you know, was given. And just,
whoa.
It's just really bad. It's just bad. Now, guess what? I have to, you know, I have to close my nose and, like, vote for Byron Donalds, and he's not good.
Yeah.
And so now here we are in Florida, and it's sad. And we have Randy Fine. I don't even know where he got in, but he's disgusting.
He is. Well, and, you know, that was one thing. I mean, that surprised me. Apparently, like, percentage-wise, Dan Blitzerian did better than James Fishback, which is, like, how the dude didn't even campaign. I mean, just, he doesn't even live in the district. Like, totally crazy. But I think it was obviously a protest vote against Randy Fine. Like, people just don't like that guy, but he won anyway. And I, you know, I had it here, but I think I must have put it off to the side somewhere. Maybe the crew can find the tweet. Because Dan Blitzerian shows the returns, the voting returns, and it shows that he went from 8,000 votes to 6,000 votes. And he's like, I think they cheated. They took votes off of my count. And that's certainly what it looks like. And it certainly seems very suspicious. And obviously he wouldn't have won even with those extra 2,000 votes. But yeah, here it is. So you have the return from like 732, and it shows he has 8,191 votes. The same page a few hours later has him at only 6,383 votes. So look, I never thought Blitzerian would win. He wouldn't have won even with this, you know, the missing votes. But is that not a little suspicious? Should we not be asking questions about how he lost 2,000 votes and where those went? Like, what? That's crazy. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think it was rigged, Mary, or you think it was these outcomes are legitimate?
Here's my scary thing. No, I don't feel that a lot of them were legitimate, but here's my scary thing. I knew that Byron was going to win, sadly. I really just did because, you know, he was the guy that they decided was going to be in that spot. But then we're going to the general, and now you have Byron Donalds with this past that's, like, sketchy, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of things going on, and now he's going to be going against Governor Jolly. Now, I'm not putting that in finger quotes or anything, but I'm just saying he's a big LGBTQ plus guy who's going to be running for the governorship of Florida against Byron. And guess what? His past is going to come back and bite him. Byron's a little thuggish. He's been known to do some things, you know, that weren't really that nice.
But, yeah.
You know, he's followed women. He got in their faces and all kinds of stuff that just aren't that great. And I think that's going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it just sucks. So what do we do here, Mary? Any thoughts of a viable path forward before I go to the next call? I mean, you're in Florida. I guess you got to vote for Byron Donalds now, or maybe withhold your vote. I mean, what do you think the path forward is here?
I have to go for it, I guess, because I just moved here 7 months ago. But I just wonder if you're ever thinking about running for any kind of public office.
No, I'm not. Me personally, no. I would.
Why would you want to ruin everything? Your wife, the children, the whole life you love. You know, I know it's crazy.
And it's like, and you know what? Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene, and look at Nancy Mace, and look at these people. They literally, they're Congress people, congressmen, congresswomen, but they like want to be influencers. They like are eager to like get out of office so they can start a podcast. Because I think they get to Congress and they go, I'm not doing anything. Nothing's getting accomplished here. I can't do crap. So I would never put myself in that position to just be frustrated continually from up close. I can be frustrated from far away perfectly fine. But no, I would accept being appointed emperor. Yeah, I'll do something like that. If this was the old days, I'd just have to get the Germans on my side. The German Praetorian Guard. Grease their palms a little bit and it'd be an easy gig. But no, I don't intend on running for anything anytime soon. Thank you, though, Mary. I appreciate that. Any final words before I let you go?
What about the third party? What were your thoughts about Thomas Massie and the third party and Tucker Carlson and the whole thing?
I've been promoting it for a while. I think now's the time to strike. I think it has to be explicitly anti-Israel, and I think it has to just – I mean, you just take the best positions from each party and combine it and – you know, you go, look, We want to be able to help people, but we can't have an open border if we do that. I mean, you know, I'm not a socialist, and but this is the way we prevent going socialist. This is the way we stop the rise of the DSA is we go, why go with the radical, anti-white, crazy people just because they're anti-Israel? We're also anti-Israel, and we want capitalism moderated by common sense and, you know, collective benefit, not in a communistic way, but in a way where you actually have to serve America. You actually have to hire Americans. You actually have to have things affordable for America and make things in America. So I don't know if the left is willing to meet us in the middle, but I think it's worth a try. I think it's worth a shot. And I think if nothing else, what this year has proved is that the Republican Party is not amenable to change. They will not alter their message. They will not allow for new voices or new blood or new ideas. It's just not happening. So if that's not a possibility, we got to look for other options. So that's my take on that. Thank you so much for the call, Mary. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Bart in Georgia now. Thanks for calling in, Bart. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm here to do another threat assessment, this one on the Indian invasion in Alpharetta, Georgia. It's about 2 hours north of downtown Atlanta. And this is even worse than the Muslim threat evaluation. Brandon, just another channel, has a copy of my video. A couple of weeks ago, I had the misfortune of getting stuck behind a school bus. Mm. I'm sitting there, and I look, and there's like, must have been 40 or 50 Indian kids getting off the bus, and they're nothing but Indian parents. One white person, no black people, no other ethnicity, and they had this apartment locked down. And this is like 2 hours outside of Atlanta, and this is a freaking nightmare. But thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in, man. And yeah, it's, we just don't have to allow this, you know, it's just like, what do you say? I mean, this shouldn't be happening. It's just that. It's pretty simple. It just shouldn't be happening. It's not complicated. It's just, you have to send them back. You have to just say goodbye. And, you know, if they say, but Joe Biden said we could come here, you go, well, he lied to you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry he inconvenienced you like this, but you have to go home now and we're confiscating all of your stuff. Because you owe us, because you need to pay us back for all that education we provided for free. Back to Mumbai with you. Goodbye. Good luck. It's the only answer. It's the only solution. It's literally the nicest possible thing we could do. I think it's too nice, but I'm willing. I'm willing to, you know, come to the middle on this. This is the way we should be approaching. I mean, because in reality, like really looking at not even history, but just the world around us. I mean, deportation is the moderate solution. It's the very moderate solution. Here's the video of all the Indian kids getting on the bus, getting off the bus. Nothing but Indians picking up Indian kids in this neighborhood in the heart of Georgia. We're being colonized, folks. These are colonizers. They're building a colony. Only it's a little bit different than when Europeans colonized, because Europeans were the advanced race and they brought all sorts of benefits. It's different this time. Let's go to Sean in California now. Sean, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harrison. I've been listening since this morning when Rex was on the airwaves, what have you. And, you know, there's a little assessment we got to do, my brother. You know, it seems that we're on a little bit of a downer, but you need to rejoice, my man. There is something coming up, and it is going to be on November 12th to 14th, 2026.
You better believe it.
Take a breath, my friend. You need to look forward to it. Christ is King, thenewchristianright.com/conference. People need to be going to that, Harrison, because that right there is a reason to have optimism. Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I think I get where you're going with this, yes. No, you're right, and it's, you know, this is what it's all about, right? I mean, this is the message that we're getting from the Republican Party is we are not your huckleberries. It will not be us. We will not be the horse you ride to victory on. So we're changing mounts, folks. We're looking around for what's going to take us to victory circle. And, that's what the conference is all about. Christ is King, America after Trump. It's a 3-day conference, November 12th through the 14th, 2026. And getting Alex on this lineup was the best thing ever. I've had multiple friends reach out to me being like, got my ticket, see you in November. So We're all going to be there. It's going to be a fantastic time. It is going to be a real, genuine white pill. We're not going to fix America that weekend, right? We're not going to take it over immediately. But you are going to get to interact with fellow patriots. You're going to get to network. You're going to get phone numbers and emails of people that are all fighting in a common cause. No matter what, I guarantee you're going to come away from this weekend, November 12th through 14th, feeling optimistic, because it is our sort of atomization and inability to actually get together and get something done that is really defeating us at the end of the day. So yeah, absolutely. That is a big white pill. So newchristianright.com/conference, and you can use the promo code Harrison, all caps, to get 20% off, or you can use the promo code Alex Jones, one word, all caps, to get 20% off. Do that today, newchristianright.com/conference. Thank you for that promotion, Sean. Anything else before I let you go?
Well, Harrison, I'm going to go back to back when I had my recruiter back in 1996 up in his office. There was a poster that said, if you were on trial for being a Marine, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I would say, with what I've seen, someone modernized that to say, if there is a trial on you for being a Christian or for being an American, would there be enough evidence to convict you? So regardless of how up or down this is going, my brother, always, keep your focus on what's true and good, what you guys are doing there, carrying on this informational warfare battle. If you guys were not over target, you wouldn't be taking flack and taking the pot shots, whether it's from Tim Pool or anyone else. So you guys are getting the message out, and that young Californian man doesn't need to be despondent. We had 10,000 people show up and protest drag queen story time at Dodger Stadium. So we Californians are out here, and maybe later on, Harrison, me and you'll talk about my different websites we have to put them in touch with me and the other Californians out here, because we look like the United Nations, except we're all Christ-centric and we're all Constitution-centric. So
that's beautiful.
Cheer up, guys. It's a long process. We're seeing the Empire strike back, but I guarantee you there'll be the return of the Jedi, if you like your movie analogies.
Yeah, absolutely. It just feels like we're perpetually in the second act of the movie. We're perpetually in that second act where everything gets worse and then a little worse and then a little worse. There's supposed to be the rising action towards the climax, and it feels like we're just going ever down. But I appreciate your optimism. I just want to be approaching this with, a clear-eyed insistence on reality. Just understanding, like, I'm not going to sit up here and be like, but, Fishback did great. He did better than, almost anybody else would have done. But no, the lesson from Fishback is he ran the best possible campaign he could have run. In my opinion, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. If you don't have the tens of millions of dollars, how are you supposed to compete? James Fishback, in a lot of ways, proved you can be as good as you can possibly be if you don't have the support of the establishment. And that's just the fact. That's just how it is. So moving forward, that's the ground we have to fight on. I'll try to be more upbeat tomorrow. I will try. We'll see you then.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.